This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening and welcome. It's that time of week again. 2 hours live rugby league chat right here on Proper Sport. We'll be talking about the Cup quarterfinals. Hull's two-year grip on the Challenge Cup has gone, but what a heroic effort yesterday, despite having three men put in the bin as Saints hang on by the skin of their teeth. Scully's Saints dream of the treble is still alive. Well done to a listener in Wakefield who's written to the League Express. Getting stuck into Scoey. We'll be sending him some goods in the post to thank him for his efforts. I've no doubt about that. We'll be talking about Lee's behaviour on Friday night. And is it time to throw the book at players who abuse referees? We'll no doubt be talking about the Tompkins brothers and their misdemeanours. We'll be talking about players cheating as well. It's just going too far now, isn't it? We'll be talking about that and more. Anything you want to get in touch with, you can get in touch on Twitter at RL on our way. You can get in touch via the Proper Sport Facebook page. We're hearing from Richard about Wakefield and some happenings there this week. And we'll be hearing from Big Earl. He's with us in the studio because the Giants have got a free ticket giveaway for the Dragons match. We'll be talking about that and more. It is Rugby League on Proper Sports. The usual crew. Scully's here, sadly. Richard Shorey is here. Phil Kaplan is here. Big Earl is here. And I'm Mark Wilson. We are getting ready for Pontefract races. Next week, we'll be live from Ponte. We've got five pairs of tickets to give away. You can't win them, Scully, so don't be getting too excited about that. But it is Proper Sport. It's Rugby League. We're here until 8.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Now, we've got a lot of listeners on this show, and I'm not going to lie to you, we value each and every one of them equally. You know, that's what we've got to do. But I have to say this week that, what's he called? Ernest Jones from Wakefield is our new number one listener, because he's written into the League Express, lads, and he's got ripped into Scully. So, well done, Ernest Jones. Yeah, you're not a fan, Scully? What's up?
Well, all I will say is, we are a team, aren't we?
Yeah.
Myself, Mark Wilson, Richard Shorey, Phil Kaplan, and my response is quite simple. As a team, we have 46 Great Britain caps between us.
We do, yeah.
There you go, Mr. Jones. There you go.
Well, what's that got to do with anything? We've got 46 Great Britain caps between us as well.
Well, what I'm saying to Mr. Jones is I know what I'm saying about rugby league, and I can only see it, and as I see it, you know, so if players are rubbish, they're getting told they're rubbish, but if players are good, they're being told they're good. And I tell you what as well, I was speaking to my good friend Richard Delaviers as well, who does my column as well, and he said, you know what, Scott, he says, you seem to be the only person who praises all the young kids who should be given an opportunity. And I am right from there. You know, so if players are rubbish, they're being told they're rubbish. If players really are not fit to wear the shirt because they're playing so bad, they should be wearing the shirt. It's as simple as that.
Anyway,
hold on. We've got Earl on here tonight. And I would imagine, quite clearly, he'll be open and honest about that performance on Thursday night because it was a bore fest. It was absolute rubbish. And if Earl says any different, then obviously... You know,
what you do? Take him outside.
He'll be getting ripped
Hold
into.
Hold on. Get on William Hill, Rich.
He'll be getting ripped into. I've got his phone number. I'll give him a call from Cass. But, you know, but to say, Mr. Jones, I tell it as it is. And it's as simple. If you're good, you're good. If you're rubbish, you're rubbish. It's as simple as that. And he's talking about what? You three guys are sensible. Do me a favour. Sensible?
Hold on, you can't spell it.
Never mind being it.
I'd just like to applaud Mr. Jones for his vision and awareness.
Exactly. Well done.
That's a bit harsh.
Richard, welcome along as ever. Bad news, though, today. Sad news, should I say, from your beloved Wakefield.
Very sad indeed, because there's only one person in history who's ever lifted the Championship trophy as Wakefield captain. Twice, in fact, and that's Harold Poynton, whose death was announced this morning. So, very sad for the club and the sport in general. I'm sure there'll be tributes on Thursday in the game against Wigan. But, yeah, sad news.
Yeah, you'll be looking forward, though, to putting the boot in on Wigan. The chips are down.
Well, this is the thing, though, it's Wigan in crisis now. We're forgetting Leeds now because they won. So it's Wigan in crisis, but they're in actual crisis, not just us making it up.
It is, indeed. We've got Big Earl with us till 7. Earl, are you well?
I'm very well, as always. Yeah, now I'm not playing. I'm waking up in the morning feeling fresh. I'm feeling fit. And, yeah, I don't fancy playing again, if I'm being honest with you. But, yeah, I'm good. A little bit disappointed after last week's performance. I won't lie. And Scully is actually right. I hate to say it. He is right. It was abysmal.
It
was boring.
Often,
that's the last time you've got to be nice to.
Yeah. And it's not just because I'm sat here. I really do believe we had a bad night at the office. And, well, the good thing about it is I don't think we can physically get much worse.
Yeah, disappointing on the back of four straight wins. I think we're all getting hopeful. You turn the corner, and I guess for Simon Wolford, his first game in charge, not the start he would have wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own opinions on how the game went. I do believe that we were dominated physically. I don't think we managed to get ourselves into a position where we could actually even attack in good ball, so against their line. We created no threat whatsoever. I can't remember any missed opportunities, and we were basically bullied out of the game. I thought we did try and defend hard at times, but we just did that for too long, and then the mistakes as well. I was massively disappointed. The pitch was in a right state as well, absolutely horrendous, full of sand. I don't think that helped the conditions, but even so, you've got to keep all the ball security and you know, actually attack and look like a threat. We didn't do any of that, and that was what's so disappointing, especially on the back of four straight wins. I really thought we were moving forward, but we sort of went backwards a little bit. So kick up the backside, and now we've got to look forward to moving up that table and keeping in the Super 8s.
Yeah, that's it.
You would have been impressed with Remy Casti, though, because even though he was wearing an opposition shirt, you'd talk about the opposition dominating. He's had a massive couple of weeks playing it, as well as I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, I think he struggled when he came back as well. He went away and came back again. I thought he was just nowhere near. He was nowhere near as aggressive, but I think that goes for the whole Catalan side. I remember playing against the Catalan team in the past, and you really did get bullied. They wanted to kill you. They really did. They wanted to rip your head off. And that was what was the threat about them. But in return, you had to do that back to them. You had to absolutely give it to them, and you bully them back out of it. You know, that's the physical challenge. The most physical team in Super League, that had gone. And I do believe they're sort of getting that back a little bit. They're getting that arrogance and confidence back. Remy Casti is a tough, tough player, a leader as well. And something we've probably missed. I mean, we had Kumatai out and Michael Lawrence, two big guys out. And I just think we're a little bit too small. I think we worked hard, but we were nowhere near. Remy Casti is a good player, and I think the Catalans team is just getting stronger and stronger.
Jimmy Laws, is he going to be going to Catalan? He's left the Yorkshire Carnegie today. Again.
Is that the third time? Three strikes and you're out.
Well, he's gone. he was at the game, wasn't he, on Thursday? A lot of people said he actually went into the dressing room at half time. I don't know how true that is, but
big friend of Steve McNamara. They work together with England.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, but Earl, I was going to say, you know, you just retired as a modern day player, and this week, you know, we saw a couple of things which is nasty in the game for me, and you know, I don't know if the Giants are coached this way, but obviously we saw Bruffy again. You know, he's going to get suspended for two matches regarding the tackle around the neck. Then also as well, we saw two cannonball tackles again this week, which the two players who've noticed it coming in Luluai and Garcia, if it wasn't for the two players in Aaron Murphy and also as well Benny West, would see what was going on. That could be career-ending injuries also. Or
neither
maybe
have been charged, though.
This is what I'm saying, Mark. It's absolutely ridiculous. So Earl, you as you know, in the modern day player, you've just retired now. You know, with all this wrestling, what goes on? Are the players encouraged to do these sort of tackles to hurt and lame the opposition?
No, I think you meant to hurt players.
I understand that, yeah, in the right way. Yeah.
Also, I think wrestling is a word that's frowned upon in rugby league, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. It's a part of the game and a fundamental part of controlling the ruck. But for some reason, we don't accept that. All clubs practice wrestle, but none of it's malicious, none of it is cannonballs. I think that is just a ridiculous part. And this is one of the things I hate about where the game has gone. I hate these shooters, we call them, the core shooters. Inside man shoots the knees, basically, so you get two up top and one hits the legs. It is meant to be above the knee, so you're not actually breaking the
so they should be attacking the thigh area.
That's right, yeah. Shoulder
which is a fair tackle.
Knee,
which is a fair
bring
tackle.
Bring the legs together, take them down to ground, it's controlled. Yeah. But that's gone a little bit too far, far too far. But then players get away with it as well. I mean, that one when Westwood lifts his leg, lucky he lifted his leg, because that was disgusting.
Ooh, Adam Murphy with the same with Garcia.
Exactly the same, but it hasn't even been side for that. Now, Bruffy, it was around his neck. I don't think it was particularly bad. I do think he played on it on the floor, if I'm being honest with you. He gets back up and then he wants to rip Brophy's head off. So, I mean, he recovered fast, is what I'm saying to you, after you've been on the floor for 2 minutes. And Brophy's up for probably a couple of games and another £500 fine, which is, you know, I can understand someone getting up and wanting to rip Brophy's head off. Who wouldn't? But, you know, I don't think it was as bad as what was made out. I think the other two could be a hell of a lot worse, but yet they haven't been sort of questioned about it.
What I don't understand, though, is that the referee has seen both of those incidents in real time and has sin-binned the player. He's clearly seen something that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
For that not to be backed up by the match review panel and then the judiciary, something is wrong. Something is clearly wrong.
Yeah.
Now, we're not experts in why... I'm certainly not Earlys, in why they now haven't been cited. Surely we needed some explanation from that.
Well, we go back to what we said 2 years ago on this show. Until someone gets their leg broken, they're out for a year, then someone will go, oh, yeah, we need to ban him for that. It's rubbish.
It's a joke.
It's rubbish.
Prevention's a case.
It's undermining the referees.
I heard it the other night with the Matautia one. Well, he didn't get injured.
Oh, rubbish.
Matt Parcell could have brought his... For an inch either way, that could have been him done.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet we can't condone that. Yet he is going to get banned, rightly so, for a long time. Yet the two cannonball lads aren't even going to get...
Ridiculous.
I just can't... There's no... So next week, when he does it again, I did it last week, I didn't get banned, so how can you ban me this week?
But you see, as we said before on this show, Matt, plenty of times, prevention is the cure.
Yeah, it is.
So to stop this now, anybody who was attempting a cannonball, because they weren't attempts, right, they were malicious, they were meant to hurt them two players in Murphy and to Benny Westwood as well. Prevention is the cure, so anybody who was doing a cannonball tackle, they get 8 matches, and it stops it. Simple as that. It stops it. Whether the player's injured or not, it stops
sport,
it.
How can we say we have a duty of care to players? We bring in head assessments. We stop play now just in case there's a suspicion of a head injury. But we have two incidents there that the referee has actually sent someone from the field temporarily, and yet there's no backup on it. It just does not make any sense. We don't have a duty of care to the players if we're going to let those go.
Well, you must have been cracked around the head a few times. You know, a tackle that may be a little bit higher, it's bounced up off the ball. What would worry you more as a player? Someone trying to tackle your knees from the side, or someone maybe just copping you on the chin?
I've been called on the chin a million times, and I remember one of the games, first games, and I was introduced to Super League, Stuart Fieldon put my nose straight across my face. Didn't even get a penalty for it. It was just that's the way the game was then. It was a lot different. It was a lot tougher, and you had to really physically prepare yourself because you were going into a battle. I think anything that touches your chin or your neck or your head, that's it. It's an instant penalty now. I do believe that it is becoming that way, and it's, for me, it's a bit ridiculous. It does happen. You do. It's a contact sport. It does slide up off the shoulder and will clip you on the chin. It doesn't matter. Play on. This is the sport we play. The ones that do get me is those shooters as soon as those were introduced. And if you wanted to stand up as a big guy in a tackle looking for an offload, someone would just cannonball your legs. And it took a while before actually the RFL, as always, cottons onto it. But even now, it's obvious that ones are obvious to me because they're going down towards the knee and they're looking to hurt you, and that is malicious. Yeah. That is with intent. So you need to do something about those. Some people get it wrong. It does happen. But those ones look a lot worse for me, and I don't like them. I've not liked that shooter style coming in. I think it is malicious, and it's come from somewhere. And
I know Michael Maguire brought in, didn't he?
There you go.
We're up and honest on the show. Michael Maguire brought it in, you know, and it's absolutely ridiculous. But also, to one tackle yesterday, and I think they went for the goal, didn't they, Richardson? That tackle by Jake Connor on Ben Barber, that was a man and ball tackle. He hit the ball here, and unfortunately, his arm slipped up to the thing, and just because it touched the head. But even Ben Barber said looked at Jake Connor and says, that wasn't a penalty, really.
Well, we had the one earlier in the season at Leeds with Ablett, when he went to get someone. Oh, it didn't go high, but it went a high shot, and he pulled out, and he actually just slapped him on the side of the face, and the referee went, well, that's a penalty, you've hit him in the head.
And he
could have done it a million times, wouldn't have even got a red mark on his cheek.
Rather said after the game, he's interviewed, you know, 2 minutes ago, Saints player did it, but he didn't get it from there. But sometimes it is a good man and ball tackle, but because of the slippiness of maybe the ball or the shirt, it goes around the head. So I think they've got a little bit of common sense, you know, sometimes with that tackle, because that was an absolute peach of a tackle, I'll tell you, on Jake Connor, and it had to be on Benny Barber.
I thought the best moment yesterday was when Connor clattered Barber and he was giving him the big
Yeah.
And Ben Barber just laughed at him, and I just thought, yeah, that's just got you.
There's
nothing
you
can do.
I tell you, one thing I know, Earl would have played against him many, many a time, but who is the biggest wind-up merchant now in our game? Is it Jake Connor, or is it his mate, McCarthy Scarsbrook? Boy, oh boy. I know he's all...
I know he's all enthusiasm,
but boy, oh boy, some of the stuff... I tell you what, if you were like that with Lee Crooks, it wouldn't be for sure. You know, like his nose would feel... his nose would be all over the place. He wouldn't pull a face again. But is he now the biggest wind-up merchant in the game?
He's G-ing up his
own place. Scarsbrook rather than Jake Connor?
Nobody can understand a word he says, so...
No, but I'm asking the question. You guys have seen him. Is he the biggest wind-up merchant now rather than Jake Connor?
I don't know.
I think he's took the mantle. He's took the mantle. He's the biggest wind-up merchant.
Fair enough. We'll see. Who were the biggest wind-up merchant you played against?
I don't really know, to be honest. I played against I played against the tougher players, in my opinion, and they weren't wind-up merchants. They were people that just wanted to rip your head off, as I said before. like your Jimmy Lowe's and your Kieran Cunningham's and then your Barry McDermott's and stuff like that. These were genuine tough guys that really, really wanted to hurt you, and they'd do anything to get over the top of you. I just don't feel like we have those sort of characters anymore. Jake Connor, he's just a gobby little...
I'm good mates with him.
Got a lot of time for him because I know how much ability he's a good very player. Good player. He's got all the ability in the world. He's naturally probably the most talented player that I've ever played alongside. He's got a lot to learn. I've seen him make some terrible mistakes under fatigue, and that's come with experience, but some of the stuff he can do is ridiculous. And Louis McCarthy Scars, but I don't think he can help it. He's just naturally like that. He's just daft as a brush. I mean, you've heard his Sky interviews when he's swearing and stuff like that. That's just the way he is. That's his personality. Whereas I think Jake, he does it on purpose to wind people up, and I think that is the difference with him.
Yeah. Does he need to lose that? Because someone said to me at the weekend, when Connor actually realises how good he is and concentrates on what he's doing rather than trying to get under everyone's skin, he'd actually be even better.
I thought he was quiet, wasn't he? He didn't put himself in the game from a point of view where Albert Kelly was back there, and I think he just thought, well, I need to take a backward step. He didn't take charge when he needed it at times, Connor yesterday.
Plenty to get stuck into. We are brought to you in association with Pontefract Racecourse, who've got their third annual Rugby League evening next Monday, the 11th of June. We'll be there live on the show. We'll be meeting players and coaches from Castleford, Wakefield, Huddersfield and Featherstone will all be there. It'll be a great night of racing on offer. Six even top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of Ponty's all-time greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children. It's the perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. We have got some tickets to give away.
And we're doing the simple competition because we can't be bothered doing questions or anything. Share the video on Facebook.
Yeah.
Retweet the tweet I've just pointed out on Twitter,
right?
Proper Sport, and we'll do one for the podcast as well.
Right, cool. So we'll
make
be giving
sure
those
got
away.
Got Pontefract Races next week, otherwise there's no point in it.
Yeah, they're non-transferable. We'll be there. We're looking forward to it, legend. That way,
you're
going
to
buy around again, second time in 10 years.
Oh mate!
All right, we'll move on.
I'm still recovering from Newcastle.
Are you going, Earl? Are you going to be there?
I've got to check with the social secretary, but I'm looking forward to being there again for the... Well, it's only my, I think, third year that I'll be doing it.
Very nice. Right, you're in, Earl. There's a reason you're here, and it was a reason dominating my social media on Friday, Thursday even, after you lost the game. The announcement you're going to make it free entry for the Dragons game on the 15th.
That's right.
Now, this is a bold move, and there are different opinions in this studio.
Yep.
Now, I'll go with my argument first. I think this is a good move. I think Ken David puts a lot of money into that club, and Ken, bless his soul, he's not going to be here forever. So I think Huddersfield need to be looking at how they can build their crowds. They've tried a lot of things. I think this is a step further. Maybe get some new info on new customers that might want to come, that might become fans of the future. But the club got a bit of a hammering. If we're going to be honest, it got a bit of a hammering on Thursday, didn't it?
Yeah, I think we got hammered in all directions, and RMD Richard Fuller's probably took the brunt of quite a lot of it, which is pretty standard, really. And sometimes he probably deserves it as well.
He doesn't listen to this show, I'm quite sure about that. If he did, Scully and I wouldn't be allowed in.
I might not be allowed in now.
Free ticket or not?
You know, we're always looking at ways to try and get fans in, and as everyone is probably aware, Huddersfield really does struggle, and especially after last year with Huddersfield Huddersfield Town doing so well, we've lost a lot of floating fans as well, so we really struggled to push our season ticket sales last year, more so than we ever have. We always have an increase. I think we're very similar to the year before, so we've had to look at an opportunity now to actually try and raise a bit of interest, and this is what we've come up with. And the game is free. All you have to do is book your tickets online, just go through the Giants website, and you get one free ticket per email, so it's per person. So hopefully now we will get a little bit more interest, so those floating fans hopefully may come back and watch another game and try and get the interest. But you know, so far we've done just over 1,000, so that is a really good start, and that's just over the weekend.
Yeah.
So we're looking to push that. We'd love to get another 2,000 to the game, and hopefully the lads react to this, react in the next game against Catalan, actually putting a big performance, because it's a great opportunity for us. I know it's controversial, but at the same time I do believe we're in a position where we're pretty desperate to get fans through the gates, and it's been going back us for a while, and this might be our chance to actually get a few names down and hopefully attract a few more fans.
Because the big thing, and Phil can have his say in a minute because he's on the other side of the fence to me, but you know, it's all about what information the club holds, who you can contact, get people in. We criticise the RFL for not marketing things, but to be able to market, you need an audience to market to, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're always trying to market, and it always goes to the same fans, and I think that is the problem within the game. We're not actually appealing to people outside of what we've already got, and we're exactly the same. I mean, you look at the fans' pages and everyone's probably slating our marketing team, and they're putting in their own things and marketing themselves, but between themselves it's not going to anybody else. We're not expanding, we're not promoting the sport outside of what we've already got. So now we need to actually promote it and actually give people an opportunity to bring their friends along and show what we're all about. Everyone's got a friend that would come to a game, but they don't want to pay because they're not interested. But if it's free, there's an opportunity there to get some more details of people, so we can actually try and appeal to them in the future, getting them along, trying to enjoy the game, hopefully put in a big performance, and who knows, we might have a few families coming along next year and a few more ticket sales.
Yeah, Phil, you disagree. You don't think they should go down this route, do you?
I get it. I'm obviously not going to argue when Earl sat right next to me.
Otherwise, I'm
going through the window.
Have you got your knee bandage on? Have you got your knee bandage on?
No, I'm just looking at the size of the window. I can see
through
the
window, Earl.
I understand the sentiment behind it. I get the idea that the club needs to appeal to a wider audience. The only bit that I'm not 100% certain about is the idea of something being free. I think you completely devalue your product if you give it away for nothing. It goes back to the argument of the Stobart deal, when the sport was roundly criticised for teaming up with a major company and getting absolutely nothing out of it, no commercial income. And it didn't do the sport a lot of good, that kind of devaluation. And I think that's what it is.
In fairness, though, Phil, to that, they had better offers on the table,
and they
chose to take that one. If Huddersfield could say, all right, we'll just sell 2,000 tickets to these lads over here, I'm sure they would do that.
I think there is a compromise that would be along the lines of, if you already have a ticket, you can bring three people for free. I get that angle, but to actually give your product away for nothing, I'm not sure that benefits the sport and the club in the long term. You know, the issue, of course, is it's coming on the back of the same two teams coming up with arguably the poorest game we've seen this season, which opens you to ridicule again. You know, you have to pay us to come and watch rather than, you know, give away the tickets for nothing. I get why they're doing it. I just don't think you should ever give your product away for free, because I think you've nowhere to go after that. And Richard Thewlis himself in the papers this morning is saying, you know, we need to get evidence of a decent crowd over 5,000. Well, what if you don't? When you've given something away for free, if you haven't hit your target, and let's face it, I know you're doing it obviously because Catalan supporters will not come in great number. You wouldn't do it against any club that is nearby because it's defeating it. But the fact is, if you don't get it, what's your next marketing ploy?
You've got to be brave sometimes.
No, I don't think you give away. I think you'd be brave and think of initiatives whereby kids under 16 get in for free, or, you know, parents bringing children get in for free. But I just think if you do a free ticket offer, you're devaluing the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah. Which windowpane is he going through, Earl? Left or right? Left or right?
No, I'd like to punish him first before he goes out the window. So
who's going to cannonball him? No, come on, it's tough, isn't it? You've got a football club that have emerged from nowhere in Huddersfield Town. Mm-hmm. They're now in the Premier League. And if you're a young kid in Huddersfield at the minute, I'm guessing you're knocking on your dad, can I go watch whoever at Man United playing at Huddersfield. It's hard. It's got harder all of a sudden, hasn't it?
It has, and I think the problem with our product over the last few years, it is devaluing anyway. And I mean, our season tickets are the cheapest in Super League at £125, and under-16s can come in free anyway. We do buddy vouchers, so anyone that's got a season ticket can bring the friends in for like £15, I think it is, which is an astronomical amount. But yet the take-up is just shocking. We just don't seem to be able to generate that interest, and I think it's quite obvious. I don't think we have the sex appeal of the other clubs around us, and the Premier League side, who are doing so well in it, mate. You know, there's half of rugby lads go to watch the games, including myself. I've loved it. It's been absolutely amazing. And I've got to say, I'm totally jealous of what they've got. I really am. I went to the last game of the season as well, and it was absolutely bouncing. 24,000 people there, and the atmosphere is unreal. And there's, you know, just look at that and think, you know, chance would be a fine thing. And then I go back to us and we've got like 3,000, 2,000 at times.
It's part
depressing.
Of it, the way the team have played over the last 4 or 5 years. Because up until about 2013, Huddersfield were almost nailed on as a top four side, couple of Challenge Cup finals. Is it as much the work needs to be done on the field to restore the faith of the fans rather than give them an offer to come to a match that may or may not entice them to come back again?
I think timing is everything, and I don't like to look at football, obviously, but Huddersfield Town, the way they did it, and they are a brilliant way to look at this, is when they got Wagner in, they started performing well, they started getting new players in, and the recruitment was bang on. They got some great players in on loan and things like that, picked up the performances, and it snowballed. We've done the opposite. Mm. We've got to the top of the league, finished second, third.
Won a trophy.
And then instead of actually adding to that, we subtracted. We took away the quality players that we had. We didn't replace them. We tried to buy players from other leagues, which I don't think's worked particularly well. And we haven't moved on to that next step. In fact, we've dropped down the table and we found it very difficult.
That's the issue why you perhaps shouldn't be giving away tickets, because it's at the wrong time where the team. I understand why you're doing it, and I get it, and I also
you wait till Leeds are bottom, Phil. We'll be getting stuff.
Appreciate the honesty of why you need to do it, but I just don't see that in the long term. You quite rightly have just mentioned they're the cheapest season tickets anyway. So if you want to go and see Huddersfield, it's a really good value deal. So now to make it free on the back of a cheap season ticket, it's almost backing yourself into a cul-de-sac, in my opinion.
But as we saw at Newcastle, Rich and I went up to Newcastle the other week, all those kids there making loads of noise, they got in for free, they spent all the money in the shop, whatever, they had all the gear on. Those fans will be back. I'm sure some of those lads will be there. Absolutely. Whenever Newcastle are next at home.
I mean, again, talking about new audiences, and it's something that we've spoken about on the show, Women's Rugby League is starting to take off. You know, is that something that Huddersfield should be looking at developing to bring a new audience in? Because what I'm seeing at the games that I'm going to is it's mainly girls. And girls are bringing their mums, and mums are then dragging the dads, and it's sort of kids-led. But it's a new and very different audience. It's a very vibrant audience. They're passionate about watching the women play because they've got some role models now. Is that a better initiative necessarily than giving tickets?
We're already doing that. We realised that at Huddersfield, 40% are female, our audience. We've done a Women in Business event this year, which I hosted. So we're trying to do that side commercially. We have an under-19s team at the moment. With a Super League team hopefully coming in, I think it's next year or the year after that. So it is all in the process. We're working at every different angle. A lot of people don't realise the work or hard work that we do put in outside of what we are actually doing. We do struggle at times, but we're trying every different angle, and hopefully it will keep improving. But I do believe if we get 5,000 people there, it will create a different atmosphere. And if we can do that, I'll be pretty happy.
Good.
Here's Patrick
asking the question that everyone wants answering now.
Ask girl not to not let the guy in with the cowbell.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Even Bill Arthur mentioned it.
Do you know what though? I think we talk about Jake Connor being the biggest wind up merchant in Super League. I don't think he is. He's a Huddersfield fan with a cowbell.
Very good. Go on, there's lots of people getting in touch about this anyway, so go on, Rich, let's get through.
Andy points out Huddersfield haven't had decent crowds for decades. The problem isn't going to be solved by a free round, although it is a great gesture. Liam says the stadium doesn't help, along with a mixture of lacklustre performances and poor signings. They're on a serious downfall. So tell us what you think, Liam.
Yeah.
Darren says football season tickets, season ticket holders get in for a tenner or something like that, but then you're penalising rugby fans, I guess, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not the same owner. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, it's if the same person owned both clubs and saw
it. It's a totally different business, which I think people don't realise. Yeah. We're owned by different people, and there's a lot of history there as well, which is a massive shame. We all get on quite well at a lower level, but I think there's a few complications, or there has been in the past higher up. So it's not that simple. As much as we wish it was, we'd love to do things like that, but unfortunately, for now, it's not the case.
And as Derek points out, without wishing ill on Huddersfield Town, look at Hull City. Once a team drops out of the Premier League, the crowds will halve.
They will. They will. But you've just got to keep working at it, haven't you?
Pete, and something else I was pointing out on social media on Thursday, and Stephen asked the question, do pass holders who are already paid to the game get a refund? How much does a season ticket cost them?
125 quid.
What is that about? £8 do we
I made a point on Friday night that for all, or Thursday night, all those people mourning, right, I don't know how much Ken Davies put into the Giants, 10, 20 million I'd guess in his lifetime. It's the equivalent of buying him a pint, I reckon, or maybe 2 pints, and saying, you know what, Ken, thanks for everything you've done for my club, I'll buy you 2 pints. And that's what you're doing. That's how I'd look at it. I don't see how people can be. If you want your £8 back, or your £10, whatever, I just don't think you're a true fan. Honestly, I don't.
No, we've had a lot, you know, that is one of the arguments about a lot, not a lot, a few, because we don't have a lot. A few Giants fans actually saying about the season tickets, do they get anything back in return? Yes, you get your £125 season ticket. You know, it's £9 difference. The value devalues it by £9 over the full season.
Yeah.
Let's just get on board with each other, entertain these fans when they turn up to the game, and actually make them want to come back again. Yeah. That's what I say, just jump on board and actually make it an occasion where we all enjoy it. You've got some extra fans there, make the most of it. Like, you know, it may not happen again and it may not work, but if it does, then let's make it down to the fact that we tried and we did something about it, rather than complain like we do in rugby league and at Huddersfield especially.
It's less than £1 a game if you're a season ticket holder, isn't it? £9 over what?
Not even that.
But again, part of the issue seems to be that we've tried to breed a season ticket culture in the sport, which is why we can't sell tickets to playoff games, to semi-finals, to finals, and the grand final is the exception. But because people now think that £20 for a single match isn't good value, so I guess there is some.
But I've had this before, because I'm a Bradford City fan, as you know, and the first couple of years the cheap season ticket, I didn't get one, and then I thought, I'm not paying £22 to go. I'm not paying it, because then you buy a season ticket, and I never went, but I've got a season ticket, but I'm getting great value for money, but I'm never going. Yeah. And then actually you start going, and then you're in. That's it, they've got you.
But the problem is the games that you then have to pay for that fall outside of your season ticket seem disproportionately expensive. So you've got people that will go to all the home games because they're a season ticket holder, but they won't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the playoff crowds are significantly down on the equivalent matches during the season.
Yeah, maybe.
So we need to strike
a balance. I think we'll worry about the playoffs when they get in the 5,000.
You need to find a balance between what you charge for your season tickets and obviously the cost of a game outside of a season ticket.
You mean all those Huddersfield Town super fans who've shown up on Facebook in the last 18 months who didn't sell out the semi-final against Sheffield Wednesday to get to Wembley?
There you go. Tyler's
bored of us.
All right. We'll move on now.
We've got the real debate going on Facebook. Bert and Sandy are asking who's got the best hair, Earl or Ashton Sims.
Don't think it's a contest. It's
a no-brainer, to be honest with you. I'm actually embarrassed that question's even been asked.
I know. Yeah. So, Sandy, you're on the ban lift. Kev doesn't like Jonathan Davies. Why do they use him? Probably because they pay him a load of money, as it came out last year. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Jamie says, Earl, can you come out of retirement and play for Hull KR, please?
I will never ever play rugby ever again, thank you very much, especially the game at the moment. It's not really that enjoyable to me, especially prop forward. If you could put me in centres, I could get a bit of pace back. I might actually start playing again.
Well, you're looking very svelte at the moment. I mean, can you have a word with Scully? Because Scully is the former player gone wrong. Earl is the former player gone right.
I think that's the time now that the announcement. I'm pulling the boots back on the 23rd of June. I'm pulling the boots back on. So first of all, I need a sponsor to give me a pair of boots. Anybody money from Blades, Puma, Nike, New Balance anywhere. I need a pair of boots, size 12, because I'm playing for
Baller.
The Leeds Rugby League.
Physical disability.
The physical disability side we played against Warwick. I'm led to believe you're going to be my teammate, Mr. Wilson.
I have.
Tell you what,
the signing has yet to be confirmed.
Anyway, well, I'm putting the boots back on, so I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor out there, size 12s, you know, a size pair of boots, but also as well, has anybody ever been sent off for cracking his own teammate? That could happen with Schofield and Wilson on the 23rd of June. Get yourself down there.
What's that all about?
Get yourself down there. It could be a first.
What
it could
mean
be
like
a first.
That for?
Because I don't like you.
I was talking to Tim Rumford, who played for Castleford at Leeds.
Look at Richin.
And he was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. He said they're like proper rugby league players that obviously they've got their disability.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn.
Well, you're running outside.
He said they're going to run
right,
into you as fast as they can, not look to knock you
next
outside, week.
You're running outside, like, outside me, you'll like, be all right. You run outside me, I'll put you through the gaps.
All right, well, all right, I'll happily do that,
yeah.
But I aren't defending at the side of you because you'll be like...
I'm not tackling. You'll be easier
to walk through than the turnstile
to make more. Hey, listen, in my playing days, I've said many, many times, if I have to make more than six tackles, then donkeys are getting ripped into, I'll tell you.
Good luck ripping into Simon Brown.
Just a point on OKR, I've watched them the last 2 weeks. I watched them beat Wigan last week and they were phenomenal. I came in, I said they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I watched them this week, they were awful. They were awful. How can they be so different in a week? Cass didn't even get out of second gear, they were 22-0 up in 20 minutes. Tim Sheen's changed the team.
What for?
He made four changes. Two of them were wingers. Now, one, granted, Carney's broken his hand. I get that one. But all the fans were talking about before the game was, why has he changed the team? Why has he? And it's almost like someone had let the atmosphere down. When everyone got in and saw the team, went, oh, no.
Well, listen,
lads beat Wigan last week. Let him have another go.
Yeah, listen, I knew myself when I first started. I'm sure so did Hill as well when he first came into the first team. If he played well, you'd be thinking, yeah, I'm in there next week. You know, it's like the confidence. Your confidence is just shot. And at the end of the day, if you feel as though, if you feel yourself, you look yourself in the mirror and say, I tell you what, I play well this week. I should be in there. And if you're not, it just puts you back. I just do not understand it. If you're playing well, you should keep that jersey. And again, it's these Aussies who just will not put the trust in quality young British players. Just won't do it. They won't do it. You know, it's like two players at Huddersfield when we saw them, what, 4 weeks ago? The young halfback in Oliver Russell and Wardle's brother. Is he back now? Is he back? When are we going to see them putting the first team shirt on again for Huddersfield? We're not, because they won't put the trust in. And again, I'm sure we'll talk about the Leeds League game, but now, Jordan Lilley, as I've said, for me, he's gone so far backwards, but now he got the opportunity on Friday night. And what I will say is Richie Myler looked a lot more better and more confident with a proper halfback at the side of him. So Jordan Lilley now, as I've said on our TV show, The Last Tackle, before we've come on air here, it's quite simple. Jordan, get your attitude right. Get it sorted out off the field with your attitude. Don't think you're big crystals, because you're not. But now, hopefully, Matt Dermott, you're asking for trust from your teammates. Hopefully now, Matt Dermott has seen that you could play with Myler. Joel Moon will go back in the centres because Kynos is injured and so is Callum Watkins. So now, let Jordan Lee have that role with Myler, because they've both got 3-year contracts, but now it's up to Jordan to sort his attitude out himself personally, then the players will trust him, and hopefully Matt Dermott will do the same for the rest of the season, because Myler looked a lot more confident.
Are you actually saying Richie Myler had a good game?
I am indeed.
We'll clip that bit out.
I am indeed. Richie Myler played very, very well, because he was plotting. He wasn't coming into the game all the time. Jordan Lee took charge when he wanted to for 5 or 6 minutes, and then Myler took over. Richie Myler looked a lot better player with a halfback who is a halfback, not a made-up one in Joe Moon.
People keep asking, are we going to talk about the Tompkins brothers?
Of course we are.
Can I ask Earl something about a tweet that Jamie Peacock put out this weekend?
Go on, then.
I'll read it, and I suspect you might agree with it, but... he said, I watched a lot of rugby league this weekend. I can't not say it. I'm sick to death of players faking injury or spending an eternity on the floor injured only to get back up and play on. The respect our game has is built on players' toughness. Please start showing this again.
I hope no one does this at Hull KR.
Something you agree with?
Totally. Yeah, the game's totally changed. And I think I responded actually to a Richie Mathers tweet that he put as a reply to this one, actually. And it was talking about what the players actually feared. Now, he said he feared like ridicule from his own players, which it doesn't surprise me. If I'm being honest, I feared being thought of as being soft by Tony Smith at the time, thinking if I laid on the floor and I didn't get back up, Tony Smith wouldn't pick me next week because he thought I was too soft to be playing in that side. And that was my genuine fear, because I didn't want to be dropped. I wanted to play week in, week out. And that was my mentality. No matter what, I wouldn't have stayed down. If it was a head knock, I'd still try and get back up. And that's why this protocol was brought in, for people like that. The people like myself or Luke Robinson, who used to get knocked out every single week, to protect them. I think now we're taking liberties with that protection. And what is being brought in as a protocol to protect people and taking advantage of it in an unsportsmanship-like way. It's disappointing to see. I'd love to see lads actually getting back on with it, bouncing back up and doing what you're supposed to do and play rugby league as tough and as hard as it is, and cracking on.
Is this coming from the coaches, Earl, about saying to the players, hey, listen, if you feel as though you're a little bit injured, we'll try and get a penalty or we'll have a breaking play? Is this coming from the coaches, do you think?
No, I think it's just more of a cultural thing these days. I think especially younger players come through, the game's totally changed, where everyone's on the same wavelength. And you'll know, as I know, when I came through, I got bullied by the older players, and I got bullied by players.
I was
scared of the older players.
Yeah.
It's not the same anymore. Everyone's on the same wavelength. You can't say anything to anybody, and everyone's always looking for an easy way out. You know, there's a lot of cheats within the game, whether it's taking a shortcut at the line in fitness and in training, and it's the older players that have to pick up on it and give rollickings out to the younger lads for not making the line. And I think that's the mentality of the sport at the moment, where people are looking for shortcuts all the time. And these are shortcuts. If you caught one around the head, you used to just have to carry on. That was the game. You play on. You play the ball as quick as you can to help your teammates.
Well, you know yourself, going to say, because you played against Phil, but I can remember my first four games. Ronnie Duane, Great Britain centre, absolutely battered me. The week after, Eric Hughes at Widnes. Great Britain centre absolutely battered me. Week after that, Chris Arkwright, St Helens, absolutely battered me. Then the week after that, Gary Prome, New Zealand international, absolutely battered me. But the fact of the matter was, you had to grow very quickly, because, as I say, these were experienced players, international players, and they were looking at a skinny 18-year-old, 12 stone went through, still spots on his face, and thinking, what's this young kid doing on the same field as me? I'm going to batter him. But you had to grow up very, very quickly. You couldn't fake injury, because if you was, let's just say, letting them get the better of you from a point of view where, I tell you what, I'm a little bit scared, a little bit frightened. I tell you what, you'd have been playing in the 18 the week after.
How do we stop it then?
You had to grow up very quickly.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there is that duty of care, but there's a big gap in the middle.
There's two issues, though, because it's worse on a televised game.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's happening.
On televised games, yeah.
So I think that's one of the issues, that the games that we see that aren't televised, it isn't taken to the same extreme. But obviously, if you know that a referee can go to a video referee to check virtually every incident at the moment, then you're going to try and get best advantage.
I don't want to say...
So one of the things is, you're not allowed to refer that to a video referee.
Yeah. I don't want to say we're in front of the curve here, but we mentioned this 2 months ago that this was happening. We said in TV games, players are going down, getting injured. Oh, look, just wait, and then, lo and behold, they get a penalty.
If the referee hasn't seen it, doesn't refer
you
play on.
That's it.
We were at the Leeds Wigan game, weren't we, when Wigan did it and got a penalty, and then, was it Hanley made the break?
Yeah.
Who is it? Bust his nose.
Yeah, but he carried
on. And he just bounced up and played on. If he'd have stayed down, they'd have got a penalty and won the game. Yeah. And you think, oh, man. The guy who's been honest has been punished. The guy who was laying on the floor, rolling around with one eye on the telly, is going, oh, I might get a penalty.
Surely then, they've been told that the coaches have got to be involved in that then, surely.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think, again, that the issue for me, going back to the cannonball tackles, is that when the referee does make a decision on the field, he needs to be backed up by the disciplinary. Because otherwise, players will do what they want. They will get away with absolute murder. Because if they feel that the referee is not going to get the backing of the sport, and it's a philosophical thing. What does the sport want to be looked like? And one of the byproducts of all these people rolling around and looking for penalties is games are taking too long.
Yeah.
They're taking 2 hours now for televised games. And you're talking about, why would people come and watch the game even if they're given a free ticket? At the moment, the product has always got us out of the mire. Whenever we've complained about the way the sport's heading, or decisions that aren't made, or not enough spent on marketing, or we don't understand why the England team hasn't been named for an international in 2 weeks' time, all of that we normally get away with because the product's so good on the field. And I have to say that, but for Holland St Helens this weekend, it hadn't been a great look for rugby league up until Sunday afternoon. And I think we, as a sport, need to decide what we want to look like. And if one of the problems at the moment, and it's putting people off who are new to the sport, is players who were faking, let's call it gamesmanship at best, who were trying to get best advantage, then we have to decide as a sport
what the plan
put
is.
That out. And one of the things is we stop referring everything to the video referee.
How's about we start making players play the ball where they get tackled as well? That'd be quite good.
They've done it, and we've said it before, they've done it in the NRL this year. They've had a raft of penalties early in the season. They're still sin-binning players, but what they've got is a really clean product.
Rich?
Our listeners are great, aren't they? Here's Bert. If you're hurt enough to stay down, you should be made to leave the field.
Yeah. Well, this is the other thing. You've got HIAs. People are staying down with head knocks who are not going off. So the other thing the referee can do is, if there's any suspicion that there's a head injury, you're just going off for 15 minutes. Yeah. And coaches would soon say, I'm not using my interchange bench before I'm ready to use it, so don't stay down.
But then you get players that are staying on that shouldn't be on.
But that's what happened with the tackle on Matt Parcell on Friday, which was a spear tackle, which has now been justified by the punishment, was that Parcell stayed on, but a doctor monitored him, and it was the doctor that called him off when he said, I've watched you in the aftermath of that, you're not right, you've got to come off and have the test. He had the test and he couldn't go back on again. So there is an independent doctor watching. So I don't think we'll get too many issues where somebody like Early staying on because he believes his coach needs him.
That's fair enough.
But I think if you go down with any form of head injury, you immediately have to go off and have an HIA.
Yeah. Why, if Mitate had just caught that ball, that wouldn't have happened. Why didn't he catch that ball?
I don't know.
I was watching it in the press room at Ulcar. He came over to catch it and then just stepped out of the way as though it was some kind of bouncing bomb. Rubbish. Anyway, we'll talk about them later. Yeah, but it was, and then he did that, and people are going, well, he didn't get injured, he shouldn't have got sent off. He could have killed him.
He did get injured. He was
at the time, when he gets up and plays on, you think, well, he's not injured, is he? But never mind. Right, go on then.
It's a dangerous enough game when accidents happen. And
without
people throwing each other on the floor without any care. John Davidson.
Yes.
We've got a podcast now. Everyone's got bloody
podcasts. Yeah, yeah. Last time we let him on ours. If you're free next
steal
week.
Steal our idea.
Yeah.
He says Mitate should get at least a month.
I think he should get longer.
He's got three to five games.
He's all three to five.
Yeah, grade E, three to five.
Listen, as I said before, prevention's a good. You've got to start giving bands, good bands out. Eight weeks
Pomeroy,
at least.
Didn't Pomeroy get 6 weeks for the one on, was it Gibson? But he smashed his shoulder in, didn't he, I think? But that's irrelevant.
You don't judge the intent by the injury.
As a player, would you be saying, you know, as a former player, you've been in that position?
I literally,
Should he be getting longer than 3 to 5 games?
I know, I'd say probably about 4 or 5 games. I'm quite happy with that. I mean, it's a decent enough ban, in my opinion. It's not about, like you say, about the injuries and intent there. I don't think he picks him up and drives him headfirst into the ground. I don't know where the levels are on this, but it was a bad one. So
he lost control of the tackle, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I understand that. It's just I'm trying to gauge on what I think it should be. I mean, 5 games, 6 games... Do you know what? It's irrelevant, really. I think around that amount is right, but as long as you've got the right protocol and everyone's in agreement to that, it is that sort of level. I mean, you know, if he'd got 6 games, I won't be shocked. It was pretty horrendous, and he really could have caused some damage.
Yeah. For me, 8, I'd say.
8 matches.
Solid, but and there'll always come a point.
Someone's
going to get the long ball and go, why me?
Do you know what's odd as well? There's the other player who got sent off for dissent. Has got the same charge.
Yeah.
So what are we actually saying as a sport? We're saying that you can possibly break someone's neck in the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And you can swear at a referee, and it's equally as bad. Yeah. We've got something wrong somewhere.
Yeah. Although I do agree. I haven't seen the game because I understand it was bad. The language used.
No, it's appalling.
Is that something we need to be getting on top of?
No, well, what I'm saying is, if it's absolutely on and off the field. But if it's 3 to 5 games for verbally abusing a referee, surely it has to be more then.
Yeah.
If you could potentially seriously injure a player,
I agree.
So if 3 to 5 is right for dissent, which it probably is, it should be at least 6 to 8 for the tackle. Yeah.
Go on, Rich.
Here's Sandy. I will be listening to your podcast today to see what Gary's response is to Leeds' performance against Leeds. We'll be interested to see what language he uses to describe their behaviour and performance. Will it be double standards? Wolfpack versus Warrington? ? Sandy's from Toronto.
Go on, then. What do you make of it? Lee.
Oh, yeah, at times it's atrocious. And I said it in my column, both Lee and Toronto. at times they act like morons. They do, because when you look at their indiscipline, you know, Lee's point of the side out well, they took the lead, and then from there, after from the sending off, it was just Lee of old. And when you looked at the way why they're not in Super League anymore, just have a look at the discipline against Cowans last year. Absolutely pathetic. And I think as well, when you look at the Toronto, you look at the Lee side, you look at both their sides, the players who have opportunities playing Super League, no other Super League club wants them, so they're in the Championship club now. So at times, and I said it in the column, not just calling them morons, but at times it's frustrating with them because they know they can't handle it anymore at that level. So when the pressure's on, they can't handle it. So what do they go and do? What do they go and do? Just totally disciplined. And one player, you know, Jamie Acton. Well, Jamie Acton, from my point of view, is why is he on the rugby league field? What does he bring? What does he bring?
You know, we've seen him have good games. When he concentrates on playing rugby, he's a tough boy,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, hold on. Against the lesser sides, he might be. But have you seen him play when the pressure's on? Have you seen him play like a proper front rower should? Leading by example, making the hard yards. Leading by example.
I saw
by
him do that a couple of times in Super League.
By doing the proper tackles. Well, I've not seen it. You know, I'm only judging for what I've seen, and I've seen Lee quite a few times, to be honest with you. But the both teams, quite simple, they think they can bully sides. And when they can't bully side because they're better opposition, they get frustrated, and that's where it's all come out. So Lee have not learned their lesson. Toronto, they seem to be getting away with it. When you look at the abuse what one of their officials got, the RFL have done nothing about that whatsoever. So they're setting a precedent from a point of view. Whichever side's at the top from there, they're getting away with what they want to do. And Lee, at this moment in time, they've not learned the lesson.
If Matty Dawson, forgive me, I can't remember his...
Matty Dawson Jones
yeah, gets 5 games for dissent. Now, you were simbing 18 times for dissent. That's 18 times 5,
only,
90.
Only banned once.
90? You'd have got a 90-game ban throughout your career.
Three seasons gone, holiday.
Three seasons.
Yeah, well, I only got banned once, but the verbal abuse I did give Stuart Cummins, some people said, yeah, fully deserved it. Well, he did.
And you only got two games.
Well, but I would have got six, but for my good record, I only got two.
For your good record, you got simbing 18 times.
All for dissent.
The good record, my bad.
Hold on, he only got sent off once.
The Sean O'Loughlin of his day. The serious thing, you can't call the referee a cheat.
Well, Dylan Hartley did it and got ruled out of a British Lions tour.
I was wondering what he missed out on for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a career defining moment.
Can't call the referee a cheat.
But also as well, and when you look at the Lee fans, you know the referee gave Lee as a trifle, wasn't it? From there, did you see the Lee fans just literally abusing the referee? We are a sport, right, which prides ourselves on being a family sport. We are a sport where we look to set the example, and everybody looks at us to say, I'll tell you what, look at them fans. They all mix with each other. There's no trouble there whatsoever. When you saw that on Friday night, you were thinking, hold on, you're live on television here. This is an absolute disgrace. They're bringing the game into disrepute. So both on and off the field, both them clubs, well, Toronto over here, not because they don't have any fans, but one thing for sure, the discipline on the field is not good enough, and they need to address it. It's all right saying, oh, well, we're getting better. I'm not seeing them getting any better.
Would you like to see that fan get banned? So the guy who clearly seen...
There were two of them, two or three of them, and youngsters and all.
One is what's happened to peer pressure. You know, because if that had happened when I first started supporting the sport, which was obviously a very long time ago, anybody who misbehaved within the crowd was dealt with by the crowd.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, and they wouldn't have tolerated that. Yeah. And they would have insisted either that they shut up or thrown them out. Yeah. So that's one thing that we need to look at. What has happened to peer pressure? Why is that behaviour deemed acceptable by all the other people around them? The other thing is... said it 100 times, the lead needs to come from the governing body. We put out this ridiculous Tannoy announcement that says Rugby League is a family game. Rugby League is a family game, please don't do it. But we don't police it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if we need to spend more money on having policemen instead of stewards who have a power of arrest, then as a sport we need to do that. Because what needs to happen to people like that is they need to be ejected from the ground straight away. Because you can't call yourself a family sport, even though that doesn't mean anything anyway, if you're going to allow that to happen. Now, there may be hundreds of reasons why that happens, but there is absolutely no excuse to abuse a referee who actually is getting decisions right. Mm-hmm. And I just feel something's tipped in support these days. It used to be that you went along to cheer your team. And that's what you were there for. You wanted to bull them up when things weren't going well, and you wanted to applaud them and cheer them when they were doing great stuff. But now we seem to have bred, and it's a societal thing, I get all that, but supporters who want to, A, berate the opposition all the time, so every pass is forward, they always stand offside, and absolutely hammer the referee. And what worried me on over this weekend was a broadcaster of another radio station who is long established, went to the Hull KR game, and he has some affinity with Hull KR, and he tweeted after the game that the hateful abuse that was directed by certain home fans to James Child, particularly homophobic, was something that he thought was not only a disgrace but almost a hate crime.
Yeah, well, Gwilym, we've got the tweet there. He just said, regarding the homophobic abuse by a few Hull KR supporters last night, I want to make it clear that the abuse was of an extreme nature and directed at James Childs. He was no more than 10 metres away. I reiterate, it's time to get rid of this sort of poison. Read my comments about the homophobic comments aimed at rugby league referee. I'm sure it happens all the time at most clubs, but it is time for decent people to call it out and time for us to rid this poison out of the game.
You know, this is the problem with this, is Gwilym Lloyd has to say it happens everywhere because people defend their clubs to the nth degree. This is the problem with
he
the
He was
Tom
getting
Kingston.
Hammered. I didn't yeah. hear any. I was on the radio. I had my cans on. I didn't hear it, but he was getting hammered.
But what about this club? They've done this, and it doesn't matter. But every year, I got the jip for calling Castleford out for abusing the referee, didn't I, on Twitter? Every club does it. Every club support has idiots in them. It's up to us to get rid
of
them.
But what are we doing about it as a sport? Where is a statement saying we will not accept this behaviour, both from the club and the governing body?
Well, you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to be building up to? It may not happen this year or yet. Someone's going to come on the field and attack a referee. So, yeah, that's going to come in the next, I would say, 3 to 5 years. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, fair enough.
And if it needs proper stewarding and there's a cost attached to that, I know that affects clubs that don't get a lot of people through the gate, we have to have it.
Yeah. Interesting. Why don't you be a ref, Big Earl? No one would criticise you, would they?
But I couldn't think of anything worse. I genuinely would hate to be a referee. The abuse that you get, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, refs have always had abuse. I mean, the pantomime villains of the
piece. It's just
vitriolic
now.
It is. It's just become to such a level where it's actually becoming quite scary of how much hatred there is actually genuine. It is genuine hatred towards them, which is, they're no longer those pantomime villains. But you just won't want to do it. You won't want your son to be, or your daughter to be a referee, and it's the last thing on earth you'd want them to do. And for me personally, I would never, ever get involved in something like that. It's just simply because of that reason.
Is it, as you said earlier, a society thing? Because you mentioned peer pressure. Well, Doc came up with a good example. I know he's mentioned it to us before. Colin Morris was refereeing him, and there was a scrum or something. He stood right next to him, he blew his whistle, and Craig swore because he blew it right in his ear, and he gave a penalty against him for swearing on the field of play. That's gone now, hasn't it?
You've
said the referee would tell you, be talking to you, and say, you know, you can do, and if you do this, I'm going to do that, and that's gone now, hasn't
it? Well, as I've said it many times with Fred Lindop, before you said his name, 10, Fred, 10, you know, you just couldn't do it because of the respect what they had. Whether they were right or whether they're wrong or indifferent, you had that respect, but nobody's got respect for them anymore. That's players included.
So we need to give power back to the referee.
Correct, absolutely.
To discipline players on the field. Either. When was the last time you saw a team really march for 10?
But also, as well,
it doesn't happen enough anymore.
How many times have you seen now with players putting their hands up? Oh, come on, ref,
Every play the ball.
You know, it's a joke, it's becoming a joke.
But you give the first penalty against somebody who's acting half-back because he's thrown his arms in the air appealing, and they'll stop doing it.
Ganson did that to me. I think we gave a penalty away, and I held my hands up to go, "What was that for?" And he gave a penalty against me for aggressive manner.
I bet he didn't do it again.
I bet the coach said... He goes, "What did he give it for?" I goes, "I just held my hands up. I don't even know what I did."
I think the issue is societal, but the answer is partly within ourselves, how we want to police our sport at the moment, and I get the feeling that we're not doing it. And it's happening. I mean, you know, somebody, again, don't go with Twitter as a source of news, but apparently there's some disaffection among Wigan fans in the second half of the game against Warrington, and they were causing problems for people around them. Now, yes, of course it's born out of frustration, but we can't allow that to happen.
Mm. Fair enough. Time-wise, have you got to go now? Or are you letting you go?
I'm enjoying it. So
you stay. That's good. We'll talk about Wigan then in a minute. Go on, Rich.
Good news to Scott. Good news to Scotty, rather, from Scott. If the legend comes to Canada for the league game on the 30th, tell him he will get all the curry dinners and Mars bars he can eat. I think you're in...
Scott must be a multi-millionaire, that's all I can say.
Canada.
We're having a whip round. We're going to crowdfund you. I'm sure we'll get about 500. We should get you in first class, really.
What, does he pay with the flight as well?
No.
He's offering you free food and you want something else. You just always want more, don't you?
I'm going to get to Canada. I can't cycle it, can I? I can't swim it.
Can't swim it,
can I?
He's a cyclist. Look at the size of him. You are not a cyclist.
And I'm not a swimmer.
We need a tugboat to get you anywhere.
Is that one of those cyclists that uses an ailer, or is he a proper cyclist?
Oh, hang on.
I'll get an old tandem. I'll sit at the back.
You'll sit at the back, shout.
You imagine that. I'll sit on the back with the Mars bars. Keep going, Hill. 2,500 miles to go, Hill. Come on, speed up. Kick costs at 7:30, Hill, anyway.
Are Canadian Mars bars different? They like them.
I don't know.
What day is it?
30th. Because I think that's when we're off to Coventry.
30 for what? June.
Yeah, okay, I think you're already busy that day.
I'm up in working since my birthday, so I'm up in working.
Your birthday, is it? We had an invite.
1st of July.
Who's going to discipline refs, says Jason, with all the mistakes they make? Well, why don't they find players for knocking on?
Would it make it easier, right? Because everyone, like I said, James Child got hammered the other night, right? I watched Hull KR beat Wigan the week before. They were nearly perfect. I watched them after 10 minutes and he just knew they were going to get battered. They came out, they dropped the ball, they kicked it to the wrong place, the passes were going on the floor, and you think, they're getting beat. But all the Hull KR fans are blaming the referee. I think, hang on, he hadn't dropped one pass yet, James Child. I don't even think he'd given a bad decision. And they're just laying into him, and it's the answer for everything. So when we get the respect back to the referee, do then the referee mistakes, and I've said this before, and I'm going to try and make this happen, is I want to get two coaches together, and we watch the game, and we video with the referee and say, right, this penalty, what's your verdict, and what happened? And I don't think there'd be that many that badly wrong, Earl.
No, that's...
But if you're only looking at a few decisions rather than every decision now...
I think a lot of them are 50-50 as well. Yeah. So you can go either way, you know.
Yeah.
It's, the ones that frustrate me are the ones that just seem to be made up out of out of nowhere. They're the ones that frustrate me. But even so, I won't go absolutely nuts at a referee and start abusing them. This is part
of
the
problem. That's what some people do.
Oh, it's ridiculous, but they do. It's whether it's your team or their team. And if it's your team, obviously, the referee's the worst person in the world. And obviously, there's two teams that think the exact same thing, and it just seems to be just being blown out of the water at the moment. It's just getting worse.
It is.
Have we stopped fining coaches for talking about referees post game?
Or tweeting about them?
Because that's another thing. If a lead does come from a coach and a coach is seen to blame a referee, fans see that as licence to do the same. And I'm not saying that... I wasn't at the Hull KR game. I haven't seen any incident from it. But you look at the fact that it's 22-0 after 20 minutes. You look at the final margin. The referee has had no influence on that.
Yeah.
And it was the same with... You know, we heard... And we discussed it last week. So there's no point going over the... But Darryl Powell's team were well beaten by St Helens the other week. The referee was not a factor. But when you mention the referee straight after... then you're giving your fans licence to say the referee was...
His radio interview was completely different and never mentioned the ref.
But I'm using that as an example. Do we need to now reiterate to coaches that the default position is not the referee? Do we need to ask interviewers to stop asking the coach about what he thought of the referee?
Well, to be fair, Bill didn't mention the referee, did he?
But he said anything.
Yeah. But more often than not, people do.
Well, maybe you're right.
Reclaim respect.
I just think it's gone too far. I think some people go to the game to abuse the ref. They're not bothered what the game's like. They're just going to go abuse the ref. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Go and abuse Scully, we'll charge you 20 quid. You can come and have a go.
Because most times they know the team's going to get beat, so they're looking for an excuse.
But the other thing that Earl's just said as well, he wouldn't encourage his kids to be referees. So you've got a self-defeating circle here. The more we criticise referees, the less people want to be refs. The more you've got to stick with the referees you've got, the more abuse they get.
Yeah.
How are you going to get new young referees into the system?
You could see... Was it Jack Smith, the ref at at the league game the other night at Leeds. Who was the ref?
No, it was Chris Kendall.
And you knew when he stood there, he could hear that guy behind it. You could see it was written all over his face. Absolutely. He's thinking, I don't turn around here because this guy's going to go.
But let's re-look at Matty Dawson-Jones. Because, again, he is setting a lead to the fans. So his team now have got three massive games in the next 4 weeks. They play Halifax, Toulouse and Toronto. They've got to win all three to get in the top four. He's not going to be playing in any of those games because he's abused a referee in a manner which we could all lip read exactly what he said in the last minute of a game where they've just conceded 50 points. Now, if I was Lee, I would be putting out a statement saying, you know, we don't want to see him at the club for another month because he's landed his mates in it.
Yeah. It's an awkward one, isn't it? It's an awkward one.
It is an awkward one. And to get it right, I think, is an awkward one. To change the actual mindset of people is...
Do we need to go as draconian and say, we're not doing it now.
I think Kendall handled the game pretty well. I've been really impressed with him, and I think he actually looks the part as a referee. He seems to be getting more confident with himself, and I do like to compliment them when I think they've had a really good game, and I think he is actually becoming probably one of the most improved referees there is. But again, he doesn't warrant. I mean, I actually watched the play back, and I don't think there was anything wrong with the play. I think Matty Dawson-Jones has tried to step around the ruck, and you can't do that anyway. Got caught up by the guy who's played the ball. It's his own tough luck, then gone back and abused him. I mean, it's like, that. What are you even thinking? That's a mentality that you've just lost 50 points. You're not gaining anything out of it. The referee's not made a mistake there. That's you. It's your team that's totally messed up. But yet you're the one then abusing him, which then the fans jump on board and go, yeah, he's right. And absolutely. It's just...
But what if Chris Kendall turns around later this week and says, I'm giving up refereeing because of all the abuse that I get? And you're absolutely right. Now, the other thing we've got to get away from is that a referee is not allowed to make a mistake.
Mm.
So coaches make mistakes with the time they put the substitutes on. Players make mistakes because they drop a ball or they stand offside or they forward pass in the last minute of a game, which, you know... That must have broken Lee Radford's heart. It's not done deliberately, but, that's a mistake, isn't it? And yet a referee who may or may not have seen someone put a stud in touch or perhaps didn't see a forward pass because they were on the wrong side of the play, he's got to be the reason why a team's lost. Mm. Get real.
Yeah.
People think, why have we spoken about Tompkins? We're going to do that next because we're building up to the crescendo.
Yeah. Wigan in crisis.
On referees, Dawn, who has asked where the thing is signed by Scully. I've not got Scully to sign it yet, so I'll get him to do that and send it afterwards. She's standing up for referees, thinks the abuse they get is disgusting. Well done to Darren's 14-year-old nephew. He's a referee and loves it. He's only had one instance in 2 years where he's had abuse. It must be good.
I was in touch with, you remember the young lad Doug, the teenager I watched at Fryston and said, what a great game, the way he spoke to referees, officiating in the NCL now.
Great.
He was reserve touch judge in a Super League game. I spoke to his dad the other day, said, how's he getting on? He's going great, he's loving it. But you've just made a point there, that Darren, is that the people around him have commented how well he's done. If they turn up and go, oh, I'm going to give it the ref today, he doesn't enjoy doing it. Probably as a result makes more mistakes because he's terrified of doing the wrong thing and it goes downhill from there. So the people that are watching him are saying, no, he's a young lad, he's doing his best and he's getting better. You know?
Well, it's like, like Phil said, like back in our day when Phil first came into the game, the crowded point, these fans aren't saying, get shoving themselves. When you looked at them fans who were abusing the referee after, the Lee fans, did you see the Lee fans? They were applauding them. Clapping him again.
Well, the bloke himself has been on social media saying he was perfectly justified and he's enjoying the fame.
It's just morons.
He should be banned.
But the Lee fans were applauding him. There was this
player that gets sent off at football. For dissent and he gets clapped off. I don't understand that either.
I wouldn't like to say there's a lot of idiots associated with rugby league at the moment, so I'm not saying it. Carl says, how about the refs...
Well, let's
find out. How about the refs give the players some respect? You know, the 34 players that put their body on the line week in, week out. Since Richard Silverwood left, there is no rapport between the refs and players. Sounds like he didn't have a great rapport between him and the rest of the referees, judging by some of his comments after he's retired. But... The referees, they don't give you any respect. This is why...
I tell you what, I don't know if it happened when you were playing to Earl, but nowadays, the referees used to go for pints with us. I used to, we had Bill Harrigan and Greg McCallum, they loved to drop a guinea, so we sent down the town, all in Leeds. Great respect for each other from there.
You imagine if that happened now?
It'd be
a riot.
Why not?
Because society's gone wrong.
You know,
broken.
So, why can't it's like when you play against each other, you're repeating each other for 80 minutes, and then your mate's after. You know what I mean? I'll see you next time. I know you give me a crap, but I'll give you one next time. You know, in our days, we used to have a pint with the referees. Loved it. John Allsup and Fred Lindop and, you know, the sort of guys.
The refs used to go and mix with the fans after a game. Yeah. And they took criticism in the bar and the spirit in which it was meant.
Correct.
And they explained why they'd given some of the decisions they did. And everybody went home happy. You can't imagine that happening.
And Colin Morris, if you're listening, Colin, you owe me about 12 pints because I was sick of buying for Colin Morris.
You know I know how that feels, not going out with you.
That's a bit harsh.
Harsh enough.
When rugby league players go to rugby union, they change, don't they? They change their accents. They learn how to become, you know, gentlemen, because obviously everyone in rugby league is an oik, and everyone in rugby union goes to Oxbridge and, you know, watches the boat race and is highly intelligent. One can only assume that Joel Tompkins learned the word rectum when he was involved in rugby league. I don't know. You can't have learned that in rugby league, can you?
You've lit the touch paper now. Tompkins.
I'd like to hear Earl's view on this before
coming straight to me.
We'll go to Scully first, because Scully's never short of an opinion. He's been on Twitter this week kicking off about this. I dare say, Scully, had there been camera phones when you were a player, you would have been getting fined $10,000 every week for various misdemeanours. I'm not saying the same ones these lads have done, but I'm sure you misbehaved, but there is a line being crossed here, and this is not a good look. Mm. And we all know, we all do stuff elsewhere on other stations. Mm. The only time they ever ring us up now is to talk about someone getting banned for drugs or someone getting caught doing something in public. Mm. They even admitted that themselves. They want to ring us up and talk about something good. So, Joel Tompkins, I am going to say, right, having watched the video, I'm not overly sure what Sam actually did wrong, other than not getting his brother out of the way. I thought it was all on Joel's toes, if I'm honest. That's my opinion on it.
I reckon the way that Sam were quiet, I reckon he realised what
I reckon he was too drunk. I think he was smashed.
I reckon he might have been given a serve before, then he realised they were on camera, so then he couldn't control his brother. But anyway, when you talk about, as I said on Twitter, saying, like back in our days, Matt, right? And certainly what they're too sure, they didn't show any respect whatsoever. That's the big... This is a massive thing here now, and they're abusing... Like a 17-year-old bar staff and the other bar staff as well, and then abusing a gentleman at 55 years of age. Where is the respect to you? Right? And as I've said on Twitter yesterday, you know, you talk about us misbehaving. Well, for sure, it wasn't misbehaving, because it was a respect, because, as I've said before, you know, the Monday clubs, what we used to have, because our weekend was a Sunday night and then Monday clubs, you know, and I've told you, you know, we would be supping a crate of Skol Special, 24 bottles of lager, don't worry about that. And as I said before, you know, the more we drank, the harder we trained to put some more back in on a Tuesday night. So, but we never showed any disrespect to any landlords, whether it was at the Garden Gate, whether it was at the Town Hall Tavern, whether it was at the Stoggies, whether it's in the Richmond on a Sunday night, also to a TC.
Hold on.
The TC nightclub, because we had a good friendship with the landlords from there. But when the landlord said, okay, lads, you know, this is the last one, whether it was 12 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, we said, all right, thanks very much, I'll see you again very soon. So it was that respect what we had. I'm not boasting about this, but let me just tell you this as well. The amount of alcohol what they had, them two players, they wouldn't have had anywhere near as much as what the players in my day. I can reassure you, it wasn't a problem for us on a Monday doing the Monday club. We used to be in the Monday club for 1 o'clock. We'd stay till about 11 o'clock at night. Be easy 16, 20 pints. You know, I'm not boasting. All right. People said, but the elf, I did manage to play rugby league. As I'm explaining, the harder we drank, the harder we trained to sweat it out, to put a little bit more back in. But one thing for sure, we were never, ever disrespectful to the bar staff or to the landlord. Certainly to the landlord, all right, we might have been a little bit friendlier with the girls behind the bar and all this sort of thing. You're talking about misdemeanours. You know, as I say, we might have been a little bit friendlier. But one thing for sure, we were never, ever disrespectful. And the way I've seen it with these two players, Sam's been fined $5,000, rightly so. But for me, Joel Tompkins, £10,000, being banned for four games. For me, he should be sacked.
Well, he still might be. There is an investigation ongoing.
For me, he should be sacked because you know the proud heritage of Wigan Rugby League Club. You know, Wigan will say to you they are the biggest club in world rugby league.
Yeah.
They cannot allow this as one of their players to bring the. They've not only brought Wigan Rugby League Club into disrepute,
yeah.
He has brought the greatest game of all into disrepute. All right. Joe Tomkins needs sacking and sacking quickly.
This is the great name of Wigan who've just announced the signing of a player who was banned for homophobic abuse, got in trouble. And his teammate, who also was in trouble at the same time, got binned off and he got kept on because he was an international. And he's currently serving a drugs ban. This is that Wigan, isn't it?
Well, the one thing I thought, yeah, great, they've come out and they've made a really strong statement here, Wigan, but this happened 5 weeks ago, and, yeah. And these...
But, Mark, I just want to finish as well on this. You know the £15,000
yeah.
that the players have been fined? I want that money to go to the girls and the landlord, and that gentleman as well, the 55-year-old gentleman, share that £15,000 between them people who have been literally verbal abused. You know, the girls who were behind there, what woman was 17, what will they be on about? I don't know, £5, £5.50 or something like that, what have you. That £15,000, take it away from that club and give it to the people who they would abuse to. It is absolutely disgusting. Joe Tomkins, he should never, ever wear a Wigan jersey again. He should be sacked.
It's interesting because the dynamic has changed. The cynic would say, if this had happened a few years ago, the punishment might have been different. But Sam is leaving at the end of the year. Joel is not the player he once was.
Correct.
And this would be a very easy way to get rid. That could happen, but look, Phil, it's not great. However we dress it up, it's not great. Is he going to get the sack?
I would imagine he's given the club every excuse to terminate his contract for gross professional misconduct, and you would look, with a new coach coming in, with a salary cap sport, that's exactly what I would imagine they would do. I guess there are issues underlying at Wigan that seem to be surfacing at the moment, on and off the field. It's not been a great 2 weeks.
The wheels have come off, haven't they? Big time.
Well, I think we might be seeing some of the underlying reasons why perhaps the coach is leaving, why there's going to be change, certainly behind the scenes and on the field. They need to deal with it. My only slight reservation is that we think this video was taken 5 weeks ago.
And there was a payment made. The lady's come out and said, I was paid to delete it. She has deleted it, but someone else has got hold of it and put it out.
But was the punishment decided this weekend when it went viral, or is this the punishment that was given out 5 weeks ago, in which case why was Joel Tomkins allowed to play for the last five games? So I think that there are still some things that need to be worked out about how this has been handled, and a lot of people praised Wigan for coming out and dealing with it as soon as they knew it was in the public domain. I think there's still a bit of an issue about if the bar manager reported it at the time and some compensation was paid to the young lady in question, why are we now waiting to hear what's happened?
Yeah, but is there also, and I'm going to side with Wigan here, is if Joel and Sam come in and go, oh, we had a bit of trouble down at the Nag's Head or whatever, but we've sorted it.
15th bar, wasn't it? 15th.
Well, whatever, but we've sorted it, then... Why are the club? But if the police are there on Monday, going, hang on, we need to speak to you.
Because they knew there was an incident 5 weeks ago and hoped it had been dealt with. The fact that it is now in the public domain, it's almost like it's been dealt with. And all I'm saying is there is a time lag there that at some point will need to be explained. I think the issue for Wigan is purely, as Gary says, their reputation. At the moment, it's pretty low.
Yeah.
And again, we have to say it because I think it might be true that one of the people that wants to steer the game in a certain direction, wants to take charge of where we go over the next few years, has got a grand plan for the sport as a whole. At the moment, at his own door, is some issues that need dealing with.
Mm.
But I'm not a professional rugby player, so I don't know if there's any mitigating circumstances that Earl can see or whether he's with us.
Yeah, but Phil, it's just not acceptable. Joe Tomkins, then, should he be sacked or not?
I'm not doing the investigation.
I think it's there for everybody to see in the video.
I think he will be relieved of his contract, but it might be at the end of the season.
Right, all right then. I'll sling another one of you then. Should the RFL get involved in this? He has brought the game as a whole.
Do we need an integrity unit?
Well, that's the issue.
Of course we do. If this was in the RFL, he'd be blown out.
He'd be looking for a Super
League
club.
We're looking. You know, also, you know, we've got ambassadors in the game now. We're looking for big sponsors to come into the game. What does this do for it? We've got a set of president here. Get him sacked. Get him out of the game.
Earl, what? Probably not fair to ask you to comment on it as such, but we all know things happen. I'm sure there are things that you've witnessed that you think, that maybe shouldn't have happened. Yeah, but
I know plenty of players that probably, if you look at it, probably could have been sacked in the past, but luckily they didn't get caught out. Unfortunately, in this case, they've been caught out, and that is the problem at the end of the day. I think as a professional sportsman, including myself, when I was in positions where I was out and about, and sometimes, you know, either people are starting on you or you get in a position where you start arguing with people, you've got to take yourself out of the situation.
Correct.
And it's as simple as that. And the case with Zach as well, I don't want to bring his name up, but too late, just I've done. He put himself in a position to get himself in trouble, and if you're going to do that, you're going to take the risk, then you've got to deal with the consequences, unfortunately. Some people get away with it, some people don't, but for me personally, that is a position I would never ever have ever been in, because I'm not that way inclined. I wouldn't treat people like that, and I look at it from the way I treat people. It's not something I ever would have done. I have been in a position before where, you know, I have had arguments with people and stuff like that, and maybe I was in the wrong. Fortunately it never goes any further. I'm a happy person. I never really cause any grief to anybody, and to see that kind of made me feel a bit sick.
The annoyance is it's probably for an extra pint that they got up in the morning and wouldn't have known they'd had anyway. That's the annoyance of it.
There's a great thing what Earl was saying. It was all about respect. You know, we've been out together, you know, we've been up in Newcastle, you know, even now at my age, and I've been retired 20 years, and I still get, you know, plenty of stick from people walking around, you know, you're rubbish at predicting you, Scully, don't you be predicting us and all this sort of thing. But still, you don't take the bait. But also as well, you know, when the... I think it was around about 4 weeks ago. Did we have him on the show? And we're speaking to him. Gareth Carvel, he's the leader now of the Rugby League Players Association, and he's crying wolf. Oh, we can't blame the players. They've got the circumstances because we know with the drugs and all this situation. And I think Gareth Carvel says, oh, well, back in Scully's days, it was a big drinking culture. I'll tell you what, there's still a drinking culture in the game nowadays. What they do, they go do it quietly in nightclubs, or they go in private bars and this sort of thing, where in our day, we would tell the speckies this is where we're going. We're going down to Stoggies, we're going down to Smith's, we're going down to the town hall because we wanted to, you know, we mix on there. So I'd like a statement from the Rugby League Players Association chairman in Gareth Carvel. And I'd like to say to him, and I'd like him to say to everybody, this is not good enough, this is not acceptable. You are role models, you are ambassadors. You know, what are you doing? Will he? No, he won't, because you know why? He'll feel sorry for him. Hold on, the presses of the game. It's like these players who've been caught with drugs. They're only crying wolf. The crying wolf costs a big court. Simple as that.
We've said that before, haven't we?
It's not good enough, Mark. It's not good enough. At the end of the day, do you know what they've done? They brought dispute to the greatest game of all, and it needs sorting out, and it needs sorting out very, very seriously. Very seriously. I've got a grandson who wants to start playing the game, and he's playing the game. If he sees all this, it's like with the referee saying about refereeing. Does he want to go to the referee with all the abuse? No, these are examples, these are role models for kids all over the country. Rugby league's watched all over the place. Absolute disgraceful, and they need sacking.
All right, go on then. Let's see what's happening on social media.
You can be charged by the RFL with bringing the game into disrepute. It's in the rules, but then they also...
You want to be careful.
But, you know, they also hand
I'm
out...
I'm not bringing the game into disrepute.
No, never.
I'm only being honest.
Okay.
Everyone's fairly much, well, as you would think. Chris says, we need someone in charge at the RFL to make these decisions. This is just in general. But no one is running the ship. Ralph Rimmer is less used than a chocolate fire guy. That's a bit harsh, Chris. Chris there, not me. I didn't say that.
No, you would ever say that, wouldn't you?
No, I want to get late into the semi-finals. Steve's asking, where is the rectum of Wigan? We don't know.
It's the name of a pub, isn't it? Wasn't that where they were?
It will be now. Felix says, have they been dealt with adequately, or should the Rugby League be involved? The interesting thing is the timing of the release of the video, isn't it? I don't want to go all Richard Keys on you, but there's some dark forces at work here.
Well...
It's interesting.
Wigan, since they announced that Sean Wayne was leaving, I've jacked in. In my opinion, they've jacked in. I watched them at Hull KR. They scored one try that was because James Donaldson dropped a kick on his own line and basically dropped it on Joel Tompkins, who scored. Probably shouldn't have been playing, by the way. And they didn't score on the weekend. They've given up. Scotty, they've given up.
I won't go that far, to be honest, giving up, because I don't think the way that Sean Wayne is, I think the relationship still has got with his players.
I'll ask you a question.
I don't think they've given up.
Is Sean Wayne going to stay at the end of the season?
Simple answer, no.
John Bateman hasn't given up. But
when I say, when I say giving up...
because he knows that he's leaving it.
When I say giving up, that is harsh. They put the bodies on the line. If they'd have given up, they'd have lost 50 million. I get that, but there's something not right. Two weeks ago, I was in here saying I think they could win everything. Now, I'm not sure when they're going to win again.
They've gone 153 minutes without scoring a point.
Yeah, and the try they did get was a gift.
Incredibly expansive and looked like they were enjoying themselves. So there is some. There seems from the outside to be something underlying that is breaking the club apart.
I said last week at Ulkiar they were very petulant. There was clearly something amiss. They were bickering amongst each other. They were arguing.
But,
finger pointing.
Also as well though, Matt. I don't know if you saw the interview what Sean gave before the game on Saturday on the telly, and it was interesting. I noticed when Sean said, "Oh, you know," to the being asked about, you know, he's decided to leave and, you know, why he's decided and when did he decide? He said, oh, well, I've been thinking about it over 12 months now. You know, so this is not just something that's happened overnight. And, you know, the question was last year, will Wigan finish in the top eight this year because of the style of play, what they've done? They addressed all that. I was told during the World Cup, Sean wasn't too happy because he was getting stabbed in the back because the remit, what they had at the end of that season, the players complaining to Lenigan, players complaining to Chris Ladlinski, you know, about the way that they were playing. But this year, the style of play, what they are playing, has been excellent. But there has been things going on behind there. And this is the reason why Sean has left. And we're not all stupid. And one thing for what Sean Wayne is, he's not stupid whatsoever. He's been undermined. He's heard everything what's been going on from a point of view by changing the coach with the Sean Wayne scenario from there. He knows for a fact that the Sean Wayne, where he wants the full control of that side, the full control of all the discipline what's gone on, and I not for one little bit that he wanted Zach Hardacre at that club. He would have known about this incident from there, and now he said, enough, I'm off.
Steve says we'll all be tipping Wakefield on Thursday. No, we're going to win by 50 now or something.
I can't have Wigan. Not at all. Well, there's something wrong, mate, isn't there? They were looking great 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, Wigan. I think something's changed. The dynamic over the last few years has changed. I do believe this is an element of fuggery that's coming to the Wigan style of play, which we know started from Maguire. It sort of got watered down, then Wayne's coming in. They've done such a great job in still winning the trophies, but doing it in a different style where it's just rough, it's just dirty, it's tough. It really is tough. Some good players, but even like Mickey Mack leaving and players like that where you think, well, hang on a second. He's such a big player for that team, and there's been a lot going on. And I do believe, and I look back at the Wigan team in the past with Twiggy Marlin, you know, Jason Robinson and Farrell and Cassidy, and you know, the team with the great players and those names. And I just thought, wow, what a team that is, Wigan, and you know, the Cherry and Whites. Whereas now I think, Wigan, gee, that's just a team that I just don't particularly like the look of. And it's the style of play, the dynamics, and everything just seems to have changed over the last few years. And now I just feel like it's sort of coming to the end of that, and it's all coming to a head.
There's a lot of Wigan fans that are happy that Wayne is leaving. We've got to make that clear. You know, that certainly that I speak to, and they're happy he's gone.
I think one of the things that Chris Radlinski said in his statement that probably wasn't picked up on as much because we were looking at likely punishments was that he talks about a culture, not just the culture that it puts outwardly, but inwardly to the young players in the team. I get the impression, and again, it's only on trying to read between lines, that there are issues with the more senior players in that team.
All right, I'll build on that. Someone's messaged in about it. That we believe there was an incident between two first-team players. One left, and one was kept on. And the one that was kept on is allegedly the one that was in the wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, what type of message does that send?
And maybe the time has now come. And it might even be a relief to some of the people at the top of the club to say, look, we're re-signing the young wingers. We've got some young players that are coming through that we really need to influence in the right way. And what we've probably got towards the top of the club are some players that aren't behaving in the right way. And we've all lauded Sam this year for the way he's played. In fact, you've got him potentially down as an England fullback before all this broke. The fact is, this isn't the first time that an issue like this has reared its head. You're looking at a guy who is the totem of the team. You talk to people about Wigan outside of the obvious rugby league area, the one person they're likely to have heard of is Sam Tompkins.
But there's also, you know, if we're going to put the boot in, let's do it. Sam Tompkins, when he got injured, allegedly on a night out when he was not supposed to be out. And you go on about drinking culture, you know, is that something that's a problem?
No, but and that's the point I'm making, that, you know, anyone is allowed to make a mistake, but if there's ongoing issues that are similar, what impression does that give to the other people in the dressing? Now, it might be that Sam is the most naturally talented player, and he can go out and have a few nights out and still be a really good player. He's played really well this season. But what does that say to the young kids in the team? And that's what I'm saying about Chris Radlinski's statement. He actually mentions if we want the right culture for the young lads, we have to investigate this.
You know what? It's just interesting, the word what Phil used there, wasn't it? Make a mistake. Make a mistake, my backside.
No, make a mistake going out and over drinking.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, they knew exactly what they're doing. It's these lads who are being caught taking coke. They knew exactly what they're doing. They're crying wolf and they're mourning because they've been caught. If they hadn't been caught, they'd still be doing it. And this is not a mistake from the Tompkins brothers. They knew exactly what they were doing.
No, I'm not talking about this incident. I'm saying if he's been...
No, but what I'm saying is, Phil, everybody's allowed one mistake. That is not a mistake. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Do you know the other thing I don't understand is Wigan is a very tight community.
Absolutely. They're a tight club. Did you see the piece about Martin Sadler in the league, especially regarding Wigan? You know, they always seem to be in-house. They always seem to be... They don't seem to want to celebrate things with other people. You know, but that's what Wigan are.
I would have thought if you wanted to go out and have a few beers and be a bit leery, if you play for Wigan, you wouldn't do it in Wigan? Because
St Helens, he's not going to have many fans, is he?
But what I'm saying is, such a tight community that you must expect, if you're going to behave like that, somebody is going to be filming it. In this day and age.
But also as well, one thing for sure...
Go to Cheshire. Yeah. It doesn't excuse the behaviour.
Well, one thing for sure, because as I say, I've mentioned before, you know, I've known Sean 30-odd years, and Sean likes a pint. And also in Chris Ladlinski's statement as well, he said, yeah, some of our players do get downtime, but we expect them, you know, to behave themselves in a manner. Yeah, go and have a couple of beers if you want. Mm-hmm. But this is absolutely disgusting. It is all professional sportsmen, I'll tell you, they're only human beings. They like a pint, like a gin and tonic, you know. But you just gotta behave yourself. Absolutely ridiculous.
I could do the same as, and I could go out and I get recognised everywhere for some weird reason.
I can't imagine.
And I went out at Magic Weekend and I got quite a bit of recognition, but I didn't do any. I didn't abuse anybody or anything like that. I mean, I probably had more abuse thrown at me.
I'm the same. Yeah,
but that's just Scotty. Scotty when he's out with me and Rich.
I'm the same.
One's justified, the other isn't.
But you just don't react to it from a point of view. But as I say, even when I've had a good drink, I would never. I'm not a violent person. I'm not a hard man, whatever. But I would never react to that because you're a professional sportsman and you know you're opening the doors up to many, many things that can be done to you. You just got to be smart. But as I say, what I saw when my son showed me, right, and when it finished, you know what my son said to me? What if I'd have done that, Dad? He said, you know exactly what would happen, don't you? He went, yeah, Dad, because I would never, ever do that, because if I did anything like that, my first thing would be, and I know myself, because, you know, I got caught myself three times, and I'm not proud of it, you know, with drink driving. And one thing for sure, the first thing I thought was, what's my dad going to say? Or what's my dad going to do? And his thought was, if I did anything like this, the first thing would be, what's my dad going to do? Mm. You know, what have they been thinking about? I think Sam's got a couple of kids, hasn't he? Joel and but also what are the parents thinking?
Well,
they've not been brought up that sort of way.
What do you think Castellan Dragons are now thinking?
I'm not so sure. Other than saying, Joel, you're being a complete let's go,
why have they fined him £5,000?
Guilty by associate, in my opinion. He's there.
They're doing an investigation, there's something to investigate. But if you're Castellan Dragons, you're again using this word culture, you're trying to change things with Steve McNamara, maybe James Lowe's coming in to join him, and you look at this and you've just given a 4-year contract to somebody who is on social media.
Hold on, they've just signed Kenny Edwards.
Kenny Edwards.
Let's not hide behind that, Phil.
Right, I just want to go around here and forget Hill because he was there. Right, George Tompkins, should he be sacked from Wigan, yes or no? Just yes or no?
Yes, yeah.
Richard Shaw, right?
Send him to West Wales.
On loan, Joel Redge.
Phil.
Until the investigation's
done, I don't think we can say. Professional fence sitter Phil Kaplan.
I'm not going to condemn him until Wigan have done their investigation, and then they'll condemn
Phil,
him.
Phil, it's not for me to do it. It's there to be seen
the one,
by
the
all.
The one question I've got about all this, right, is why did they start filming at that point? Mm-hmm. Was it because it had been going on and they thought, we need to get rid of it, we're just going to start filming, you'll shut up and
that,
go out.
And that, again, that's
so
what
that
Gary was
saying.
So
even more to come out. Yeah. That'd be my... Why is it happening? But anyway, let's move on.
We're just all hoping that the next issue of 4020 magazine is a nice picture of a rectum on the front cover or something, with Joel's head popping out of it. Good news from Andy. The wife likes you, so that's good news. So
what about me? I've been sat here for 4 years.
Nice.
Thank you.
Like when Ollie was in before, when you were at the World Cup, everyone wants Erling every week now. They're bored. Elsewhere on social media,
I could wear a week.
We'll get you one of those.
Good point. What about the face and the six pack? Where are we going to get one of them from?
Have you seen those masks we've got? Have you seen those?
Oh no! Oh, God.
What's wrong with that? Oh. What is wrong with that?
Plenty. Oh, geez. Talk about bringing the game into disrepute, and then he does that.
The show's into disrepute. We're just being sacked. Yeah. Don't put that. They're horrible.
They're very odd.
Oh, you did it back to the... You did it the wrong way. Thank God for that.
Thank goodness for the listeners.
Thank God for that. Scully, no.
There you go, the six.
Earl, I can only apologise.
Sandy asks, as a retired player and therefore looking at the sport from the outside, what does Earl Crabtree think of Wolfpack joining the RL, the potential and the opportunities for the sport? After watching that, it's like, I want to get as far away from it as possible.
My opinion on Toronto, I think it's great for the game, as in I love the exposure that the game's actually getting off the back of it, which I think is fantastic. They're really good at what they do, actually, promotion side of it. I think a lot of teams could actually learn off them. For expanding the game, I'm not so sure. I think it's fantastic that it is there. I think the games recently, I think they've massively let themselves down. I don't think they're nowhere near as good as what some people believe that they are. I think they're miles away. I'd like to see them, obviously, at the end of the year. It'd be interesting to see, but I mean, look at the team on paper. I think there's some okay players in there, but I just don't think they've got any strength in depth. And they'll have to do a lot to become a really good, solid Super League team. I just don't think they're quite there yet. But I love what they've done for the game. I think it's fantastic that they're involved, and hopefully they'll continue to push. And then obviously they'll talk about New York as well. I'm more interested in actually building the foundations over here, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of clubs that we've got, there's a lot of history, and I don't think the sport is as strong as we like to think it is in the Heartlands. And obviously we'd love to expand, but academy, and I miss the days of academy and alliance when I used to play. You played academy, and if you're lucky enough and you played well enough, you got into the alliance, and eventually you get into the first team, and then you got your first team contract, and then that was it. I miss those days, I really do. I think there's too many lost players. I love the foundations to be built on a little bit more, and the youth be invested in a little bit more rather than massive expansion. But if people are going to come in and invest, that's absolutely awesome. I think they've been brilliant so far. I love to see them continue, but I still think there's quite a lot more that they probably need to do, and a lot more to come from them.
Fair enough.
Would you have signed for them, if they'd have come for you in the last sort of couple of years of your career? Would you have relished the opportunities to play over there?
I'd have loved to have played over there. I think it's a fascinating place. I've never actually been, and I will be going out there. But for me personally, I didn't want to go anywhere else. I wanted to play at Huddersfield throughout the whole of my career. I had opportunities to go elsewhere, and never took those opportunities up. And I don't lose any sleep at night over it, and quite enjoy the fact that I've done what I've done. And I'd like to play for Huddersfield for a couple more years. Unfortunately, with things
how
that went on.
How they could do with you now?
Well, they could probably do with another big block. I think we're massively lacking in that department, and my time's gone. And
so, Earl, will you talk to retire then? Or did Rick Stone just say, I'm not going to pick you anymore, retire or go somewhere else? Is that what it
His
was?
His exact words were, I don't see you in the salary cap for next year, and I had a year left. So I had to make a decision on what I want to do. So I had a few different options, whether I go somewhere else for a year, somewhere else, whether I went on loan for a year, whether I just had a payout, or whether I just had a year working in the background staff sort of thing, or I took a 3-year option. Which for me was the right thing to do because I believed I'd had enough. I just
The enjoyment, had gone then. Working for Rick Stone.
Yeah, very much so. I hated it, and wasn't getting anything out of it. I had a tough year. I was really struggling with injuries. I'd had an operation right at the beginning of the year. I put so much weight on, and I couldn't do much about it. But I started getting back.
Hold on. You lost. You could do having a word with Alex, didn't you? He got rid of his.
I think I put too much on. I didn't look quite that bad. But,
you'll see how athletic I am in 3 weeks' time on the 23rd of June. I'll be flying around in them 32s, I can reassure you. Anyway, we're having a serious conversation there.
Yeah, you were, sorry. You
know, but as I say, Rick Stone, with the Australian point of view, it's quite obvious, Earl, and you didn't see eye to eye.
Yeah, no, we got on absolutely fine, but obviously he's one of these people that are probably saying really nice things to your face, and then in the background he's making decisions about your future. I didn't even get really to talk to about it, but unfortunately I played pretty well in one game, and then the next game I broke my ribs and I couldn't play in the last few games. Got messed about a little bit with regarding obviously whether I was going or staying with my contract and stuff like that, so I made a decision that I think I need to look towards the future now. I could have dragged out another year or two somewhere else, but I needed to make a decision sort of there and then about the rest of my life. I've got another 30 years of work. I have to step into the real world and actually have a dig at it.
This is a real world. Do you want to do with this?
Scott is 50 odd and he's not in the real world yet.
I've got a few ideas of what I want to do. They're not all in rugby league. I'd love to be in rugby league for the rest of my life, but I won't be relying on it for the whole of my future.
So then obviously one of the coaches there, Rick Stone, coaches who I couldn't stand, to be honest with you, but I had four important ones to me: Mal Reilly, Dave Ward, Frank Stanley and Arthur Bunting, who just let me play how I wanted to play. It didn't take my ability away. So who's influential coach in your career which made you not just to the first team player but also to an international as well?
A couple of coaches, especially Tony Smith, taught me more than any other player. He taught me more than any other coach. Also, he messed with my head more than any other coach as well. So, I mean, I didn't see eye to eye with him. He was trying to get the best out of me, and it didn't quite work. And then, obviously, we went separate ways, as in he moved on, which for me was the best thing. Then John Sharp came in, and he obviously had a bad opinion of me straight away. Later on, as I sort of got a bit older and mature and things like that, I actually started playing better naturally because I kind of filled out. I got stronger, mentally tougher. I got fitter, and eventually I started playing well. And it was probably down to my own determination. Tony Smith taught me more than any other coach, and I'll always remember that. And he gave me my opportunity at England later on down the line. Nathan Brown was the best coach I ever had. He actually looked at me game and said, "Right, Earl, you do this really well. So what we're going to do is focus on that. I want you to do more of that. Keep doing that, I'll support you with that, but also I want you to work on these bits as well." I did exactly what he said because he believed in me, made me believe that he had faith in me.
And yeah, that trust and confidence, exactly, as I keep saying.
We had that relationship where I did feel like he was
you're under pressure every week,
playing mind games with me. He actually talked to me and had given me respect. That's all I ever wanted. I ended up going on and playing for England. Nathan Barnsley talked to Tony Smith and taught me up as well, so he selected me, and the rest is kind of history. Don't get me wrong, there's a few coaches along the way that I can't stand, and the way they coach. I'm not going to mention the names, especially on the radio. Not at the moment.
Come on, Earl. It's open honest on this show. If you're going to come on regular on this show, you've got to be open and honest. Come on, just give us one of them then.
You've got to remember, Scoway, I'm still liked within the game.
2-0.
It's all about you three. I'm still liked in the game, Earl.
I didn't mention any names.
Well, my son likes me. My daughter likes me.
Are you sure?
My grandkids.
Hold on, we'll get him on the phone now. The grandkids said he'll like you if you tell him where the sweets
are. I don't know if you listen, but I say my worst coach was Doug Lawton. I had him for five years at Leeds, right? And I was still the best player around, don't worry about that, right? And not once, right, did Doug Lawton say to me in 5 years, Earl, "Well played." What an absolute prat, honestly. And that went on for 5 years. Yep. So how can you imagine working for a coach like that?
We should ask Earl the Scoey Wigan question. Earl, you were a one-club man at Huddersfield. If someone would have come and offered you four times your salary to go play somewhere else and probably win everything in the game, would you have probably gone?
Yes, I would, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. So you are stupid. Sorry.
I've explained.
Scully got offered 100 grand a year to go to Wigan when he was on 25 grand a year at Leeds and he stayed at Leeds.
22. No, but listen.
Three-year deal. Yeah,
but listen. As I mentioned, if that Pratt, right, if that Pratt had been open and honest with me, I'd have been going to Wigan, and I told you, seeing him in the home dugout and me, at, you know, in the cheering white...
You could have done what Adebayor did when he scored against Arsenal. Run down the touchline, giving it the big legs.
I would have played for Wigan and given my all. I would have given 110%. But what me, in a cheering white jersey, ripping Leeds apart, maybe scoring tries, creating tries, and seeing him in the home dressing room? If he'd have been honest, that would have happened, but he wasn't. He was a liar.
Last week, when it was mentioned that I might be playing for Leeds PDRL team, you asked to go play for Warrington just so you could crack me.
Correct.
So you were happy to do that, but you weren't happy to do it against Doug Lawton. Does that mean you like Doug Lawton more than you like me?
I tell you what, that's a good debate.
Right, we're moving on. Rugby League Live, by the way. I've got to read this out or we'll get into bother. Hopefully I won't get fined 10 grand anyway. It's brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse. We've got their third annual Rugby League evening next Monday night, 11th of June. We will be at Pontefract Races next week. Meet the players and coaches from Castleford, Wakefield, Huddersfield and Featherstone. They'll all be there. It's a great night of racing, offer six top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. You can take your season ticket along and get grandstand entry and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, all with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children. It's a perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. You can go to pontefract-races.co.uk to book your tickets, or you can win them.
Share the video on Facebook, retweet the tweet on Twitter, and we'll do another one after the show for the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And can be with us. Five pairs of tickets. I've got some other things to promote.
Oh, go on then.
John's been on Facebook about Keighley next Sunday.
Right.
£20 for a family ticket. Do you know about this, Coy? Two adults, up to three children, free bounty cattle, free popcorn, free candy floss.
We're at Doncaster.
Next Sunday.
No, 17th. So you can go to Huddersfield for free on Friday, and then you can go for £20, we can take the kids and get some free candy floss and get a go on the bouncy castle for 20 nickel.
Yeah, that's the West Wales game.
Yeah. There you go. Are you the bouncy castle, or what? What's happening?
Move on.
We like clubs that are proactive and send press releases and things that I can just read out rather than have to make it up myself. So thanks to Jamie at Wakefield Trinity Ladies, who says they're looking to bounce back into winning ways after a tough defeat to Leeds at the weekend. When they play their first fixture at the Mobile Rocket Stadium this Sunday, Wakefield Winners kicks off at 2 p.m. The stadium will be open from 12 for pre-match entertainment provided by local community girls teams playing as a curtain raiser. Entry on the day is just £3 for adults and concessions, and £1 for anyone under the age of 16. Wakefield Trinity season ticket holders can enter for free. They streamed the game yesterday against Leeds in the Cup, and I think 15,000 people have watched it already. Magic, this Women's Rugby League. People actually want to go watch it. Phil was there. He says it was good. And the club are pleased to announce that any adult supporter who attends the game to support the Wakefield Trinity Ladies team will also be able to attend the Catalan Dragons home fixture on Saturday, the 7th of July, for just £12.
There you go.
So get yourself down there on Sunday.
Get it out there. I need a sponsor for a pair of boots for the 23rd of June. Come on. Mike Wilson, you need a pair of boots as well, don't you?
I've got some.
What size are you?
9.
Where do you get yours from?
I bought them. Went to a sports shop and bought some.
Well, why did you get me a pair?
Because I bought them about 10 years ago. I didn't know you then. My life was so much better then as well.
Tim's asked us a big question. Does anyone know who he's showing the Denver test?
BBC.
Because they trailed it, didn't they? Had a thing on the end of the programme.
Have they paid for it?
Are they showing it live on
Saturday? I've picked me England side as well.
I'm asking you a serious question.
Nobody knows, because have we had a press release about it?
No. How do you know they're screening it?
Because after the Challenge Cup game between Hull and St Helens yesterday, Mark Chapman ended by saying, and here's a look at some of the other rugby league you can see on the channel, and the first thing that came up was England against New Zealand in Denver. So I'm assuming they must be showing it.
Not the Super League show, because I'm at 3 in the morning. It's like when Channel 4 sent out a press release that they had bought the Wales Rebunion rights.
Anyway, move on.
Could I just compliment York City Knights, who I know are a club that are very close to us. Yet again, they have come out with a brilliant marketing ploy. It costs nothing to be inventive. I would encourage everybody to follow them on social media and look at what Tim Spears has done with a certain tattoo that he's had, or may not have had. But it's a brilliant promotion for the game against Workington this Sunday.
Yes, well done to York. That's what you got to do, big girl. Get a tattoo on your leg of Scully. That should get you a bit of interest.
Not sure my leg's big enough, to be honest.
3-0. You're getting absolutely battered here, Scully.
Have you seen the England side? I'll be 2 weeks. Have you seen the England side?
No.
In the column?
No. We'll move on quickly. For listeners that have just joined us, free entry against the Dragons for yes. Giants fans. What have they got to do to get a ticket?
Basically, go online to the giantsrl.com and we are giving away these tickets. It's just basically sign up online on our website. The directions are there. You can also phone up as well, go into the club shop, and it's simply just putting your email address, choose your ticket, and print it off. It couldn't be much simpler, to be honest with you. We're trying to get as many people down as we possibly can, so we'd love everybody to take up this offer. It is obviously a family sport. Anyone can come. We want to make the numbers up and try and get over at least 5,000, because we've already got rid of 1,000 so far, just over, and that was just over the weekend as well. So we wanted to get another 1,000 at least and actually make it a decent atmosphere for a change.
And of course, the shame is on that night other clubs will be playing, and that's where the neutral fan gets disenfranchised, because I think a lot of us would come and watch that game, particularly
well,
if it's free.
I tweeted
but
this.
We can't, can we?
I tweeted
four
this.
Other games are being played.
I'm looking
at
the games
time.
At the weekend. There's no game on Sunday again. There's no Super League game on Sunday.
Joke.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It's rubbish.
Mm. How many Hull fans went yesterday that wouldn't have gone on a Thursday night to St Helens?
Yeah,
loads.
Yeah. Sunday afternoon rugby. Tell you, 3 o'clock. Can't beat it. People
I
want it.
It's a shame that the clubs can't work together, because if this initiative is going to work, then a lot of the people that might come are not just new fans from the Huddersfield area. You might get some established rugby league fans or fans of championship clubs who would relish the chance to see a Super League game. And let's face it, Catalan are playing pretty well at the moment. You've just played each other in the Cup, so there'll be a bit more feeling. Simon Wolford's first home league game. But obviously he's going to stamp his mark on the team. So it's actually an event that is worth going to. But I would imagine a lot of people that would like to go are not going to be able to.
Hold on,
purely because of the fixtures.
Hold on, I was having a debate with you and Mr. Wilson a couple of weeks, or for the last couple of weeks. You'd already told me they had an influence by Skype.
Yeah, I think.
Well, why don't you go back to Australia by Skype? They played a lot better by Skype.
I think he said that after the game.
Scott, you don't even know what Skype is.
No.
It's a fish, isn't it? It's a fish. I'll have some chips, please.
Biggest game on
some
Sunday.
Scraps.
Biggest game on Sunday. And well done to Halifax for their win on Saturday.
Yeah, well done, Halifax.
Lee and Halifax.
Yeah, they're flying out there, the facts. Yeah.
Third in the championship.
Third.
That is astonishing.
It is.
Yeah, well, my Halifax mate's just come and just, hi, mate. Give facts a shout tonight. We are playing out of our skin. At the moment, we're up to third. We have some good young talent who have come through. Here we go, boys. We have come through the reserve system, and it's paying off. You know, so well done to Halifax.
Just lost QLT, bit of a blow. He's gone
well
to Castleford.
Done.
What do you make of that, legend?
Well, Castleford needed a fullback, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, it's so a round peg in a round hole, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. As I keep saying, you know, there's four natural positions where you've got 12 specialists who play that position. The sign one. So now Shenton's back in the centre. Eden's out there. Shenton has been named in my England side. He'll get the right service. Eden will score tries. But well done to Halifax. Brilliant.
Yeah, and it showed having Shenton back at centre the other night. He put one on a plate for Hitchcock. Just what he does. That's what he does, isn't it?
That's why he's in my England side.
Yeah, very good. Right, it's prediction time. It is prediction time. Any more for any more, Rich, before we... are we all right? Are we good?
No, apparently Catalans are talking to Anthony Gelling. It's almost like they're rebuilding Wigan. I wonder who their next coach will be.
Are they changing the colours to red and white or something, are they?
Well, they're changing there, the badge to a pie.
Huh?
Yeah.
Ooh,
well, those pies at Newcastle, by the way, they were lovely. Go get one next time you're there.
Sits on the fence and then throws an hand grenade. He's like Bielsa.
Oh, no, Nigel has mentioned it. Biggest game of the weekend, because the O must go. West Wales versus Hemel.
Yes. Who are you backing? Right, we'll have that one on the prediction. Wakefield Wigan, Scoy.
Yeah, well, with all the controversy, don't worry about that. There's only one side that's going to win this. Only one side that's winning this. And that's Wigan. Wigan by 12.
What?
Wigan by 12.
What?
Wigan by 12.
Oh.
Wigan by 12.
Who's going to win?
I think it's going to be quite close, actually. I'm struggling, but just because of the way it's all going on, the way I probably want the game to go, I'd say Wakey by 8.
All right, Phil?
Yeah, Wakefield. I think they've been sitting there for a week waiting for this game, and they've got a pretty decent record against Wigan recently at home.
Yeah, 62-0. Go for that again.
Thought you might have mentioned that.
get your commemorative...
So there's only the legend going for Wigan, so come on, Wakefield, don't let us down. Hull Salford.
Well, let's say Hull, if they wanted to pick a fixture, certainly at home, it would be against one of the lesser teams, and this is one of the lesser teams, out of form, out of confidence. Hull out of the Challenge Cup, but they'll have enough. Hull by 16.
Thanks. Earl?
Yeah, Hull again. Very similar. I think they'll be just far too strong. They're still very confident and some good players as well. So Hull by, yeah, at least 16, I reckon.
I don't know what's happening at Salford at the moment, but there seems to be a team that are losing players rather than bringing them. I don't see the point of even mentioning that they're signing players for 2019 at the moment.
You'd have to be mad to sign there,
Hull,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Rich?
Hull.
All across the board. Leeds Huddersfield, our commentary game on Friday night. Scully?
Bruffy's going to be suspended, isn't he? You know, and after that performance against Catalans, I just can't get excited by the Giants. Leeds, so I'm hoping that they stick with the half-back pairing from there. I'm going to Leeds, seeing the noise at the sat of the side of me. Might just give me a big right up anyway, but I'm going to Leeds by 18.
Oh, yeah, it's quite even hard to argue after that performance. I'm in a horrible position here.
You can abstain. Kaplan's a Leeds man, Earl.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a draw.
I've been listening to Rick again.
Again, hey, they've been second on it, yeah.
Yeah, they've drawn quite a lot.
I think the most important thing in Leeds' victory was the performance of the young players. I think they're now starting to get a group of four or five of them that are really making a mark. So I'm going for a Leeds win. A first of three games at Emerald Headingley in a week and a half. It could be a big time for Leeds.
Looking forward to this one because there should be plenty of room in the press box. Everyone will be elsewhere. Leeds.
I'm going Huddersfield.
Oh, do me a favour.
Won there last year. Wilson, do me a favour.
Give me when we talk about respect, have a bit of respect for
our
great club.
Hold on.
Have a bit of respect.
Hold on. You said Leeds would beat Leeds. You said that on this show. Leeds 52, Leeds 20. I gave my reasons.
Why are Huddersfield going to beat Leeds then?
I think they've been playing quite well. I think Leeds have got a lot of injuries.
Playing quite well.
Did you see
the game against Catalans?
No, I didn't. They had a bad day.
Mitch Garber will be back for Leeds, and that'll make it.
Mark, you're bonkers. You're bonkers.
Says the man who picked Leeds to lose to Lee last week. Yeah, well done. Right, okay. We'll move on swiftly.
We need to do
Saints. Warrington Cass will do. We're not doing the Saints game.
It's a big one. Both teams are in good form, aren't they? And. I say the Warrington are going. I'm just going. Tyrone Roberts has certainly now got that tag from a point of view getting around the side. I'm going to go Warrington. I think we're pretty tight. I'm going Warrington by 7.
Earl?
I love how Warrington are playing at the moment, to be honest with you. I think they're looking really quite dangerous, and I'm enjoying it for a change. I think they've really come on leaps and bounds, but I think, yeah, wire for me, and probably, yeah, around 8 points, something like that, 10 points.
I think the ability to turn around a 38-10 defeat to a 23-0 win inside 2 weeks tells you where Warrington are, and I'll go with them.
No wire.
I'm going to go Cass. I thought they played all right. What's up, Gary? Right, West Wales Hemel. Where is it at?
What about Catalan Widnes? The big game of Super League.
Nah, I'm not even bothered. Catalan. Well, all right. Well, Catalan for me. Where are you going, Ledge?
Yeah, Catalan. Yeah, Widnes are rubbish. Catalan.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I totally agree with that opinion, to be fair.
Oh, dear.
He's opening up, he's opening up. We're nearly finished. He's opening up.
I think he's got post-traumatic stress.
Well, from being here for 2 hours.
He'll want a gallon and a half after this show.
Phil?
Yeah, I think it'd be closer than you think. Widnes do have a new coach. There will be a bit of a bounce, but I'd be very surprised if the Dragons didn't win.
I thought we were talking about West Wales and Hemel.
We've only got 50 seconds.
Catalans.
Right, West Wales taking on Hemel.
Well, I haven't seen West Wales play yet, but I know they're conceding plenty of points. Hemel, I've seen. They're not bad. I'm going Hemel. I'm going Hemel by 26. In a classic.
My mate Chris Cullimore's on loan from Halifax there at Hemel. So right. I've got to go for them because he's been getting battered every week.
All right, yeah. Phil?
Hemel.
I'm going for the Raiders. Go on, the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going. They'll be the best thing in Wigan now. Now they've got a partnership. It's about time that Wigan side got a win. So West Wales Raiders for me. That is it. We are live on Friday at Headingley. We'll see you there. We are live next week at Pontefract Races. Head over to pontefract-races.co.uk. Get your tickets bought. Remember, it's a fiver in room. It's free entry at the Giants on the 15th against the Dragons. Scott, I will see you on Friday. Earl, thank you for coming in. We've not badgered you too much tonight.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Phil, thanks as ever. Rich, thanks as ever. Download the podcast. You can still enter. I've got to play the news now, and I haven't played my thing. I don't know what to do. I'll just put